Veronica, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. And normally Wendy Snyder would be here. She's off for the rest of the week, for the rest of the year, if I can be truthful with you. And sitting in her place is our friend Judy Pilak. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
I've been looking forward to this.
Really?
This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a whole bunch of fun.
I'm glad you were looking forward to it.
This is not the way, as I look outside the window here in Michigan Avenue, this is not the way Christmas looks in holiday specials. It's very, very rainy. It's not cold at all for people who have not been outside.
I mean, the lights are up. It's... You know, I'm kind of into Christmas this year, I have to say.
This year more than normal?
Yeah, some years, you know how it goes.
Because
I mean, it's not
why?
It's not so much the snow with me. I don't know.
You're just in the mood.
Yeah, I'm in the mood.
It's hard to believe. I don't know what it is about the month of December, but this is one of the months that just kind of flies by. And I don't know if you have this. There's a woman who works at the grocery store that my wife and I shop at. And anytime we go up and we get stuff, if I'm writing a check and when I put the date on it, I'll always say, is it December 21st? No matter what the date is. And she does this in the summer. She does this year round. She goes, can you believe it? Like whatever date it is, she's shocked that that's the date.
June 5th.
Can you believe it? No, I cannot. It seems like June 4th. It's June the 5th.
That is funny.
Yeah, she loves that.
Because people, they're always thinking ahead.
I guess that's what it is.
Summer's almost over.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Kevin, our producer, shared something with me before the show, and I wanted to run it past you and anybody listening. And by the way, if you are listening, thanks for being here. We're at 312-981-7200. Call in or text in at any point during the show. Kevin and I were talking about Christmas and the fact that it's already coming up Thursday and Friday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then Kevin said that he and his fiance have already exchanged gifts. You did this last night, Kevin? Is that
right? Well, yeah. I mean, we had our, we call it Little Christmas. We do the entire day and we hang out and get dinner and, you know, do the whole thing. It's nice.
You've done it this way before?
Yeah, just us two.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time you've done this before, you said.
No,
huh?
It's become a bit of a tradition now, yeah.
Because why? Why would you do it in advance?
Well, you know, the holidays themselves, we're going to see my family, we're going to see her family, we're bouncing around all over the place. It's just like dizzying almost, you know. So we like to take a day to kind of focus on ourselves.
And it's called Little Christmas.
Yep.
And you've trademarked this.
Yeah,
if anyone else tries to use it, you'll sue them.
I will.
Is that a millennial thing?
I don't know. Is that what it is, Kev?
Is what a millennial thing?
Just wanting your own little time. I mean, I get
maybe.
It. It's great, but yeah, I don't think I've ever heard it before.
I've never heard it before.
Because you're young.
So, like, before you had kids, you wouldn't, like, you and your spouses at the time or whatever wouldn't spend a day together?
And Kevin says spouses because, for people who don't know Judy's situation, you were married to several men at one time.
You know what? You weren't supposed to bring that up today. It was a happy time.
It was
for
a
me.
Mormon ceremony that you were tricked into, and you married eight different men.
No, I knew exactly what I was doing. And I would do it again.
Sure, why not? Because some of them are going to disappoint you, but there's going to be one or two that are really
great.
There's
got to be one out of the bunch, you know, but sometimes that doesn't even happen.
Right.
But no, when I was younger and had a fiance, all we did was go out to the bars and party.
Was that a usual thing? Yeah.
Especially around Christmas. Are you kidding me?
No, I get it. I understand.
You did that too.
No, not me. I'm an Osmond.
I mean, you know what? I grew up on Rush Street, so the Rush Street was in my era.
Right.
That's your version of Little Christmas then.
Yeah.
Go out to the bars.
It was kind of more of like a little something-something Christmas. Yeah.
Trademark that. Trademark Little Something-Something Christmas.
No, I always had to go to the other side too, and they actually always did the day before. So
did they?
So families have been doing this for a while.
And the main reason is, I guess this is fairly obvious, there's so many extended families because of divorce and that sort of thing. And like I remember Terry and I, the first few years we were married, we were in the car almost the whole time for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day going to various relatives and stuff. We invented a thing. this was, sorry about my sore throat, by the way. It's seasonal. This is my Christmas gift to everybody is my sore throat. We invented a thing called Bonus Christmas, and here's how Bonus Christmas started.
Wait, can you say this on the radio?
No. Are we on that? We're not on now, are we?
No, go ahead. Tell us all about it.
Here are the origins of Bonus Christmas. Bonus Christmas started because the first year Terry and I were dating, and it's been 31 years, by the way. Our anniversary was yesterday, 31 years
congrats.
Since our first date. Thank you.
So Terry
expressed to me on that very first Christmas that she always had a letdown when Christmas was over because you look forward to it for so long and then very quickly Christmas is done. So she said to me how sad she would get when Christmas was over every year. So starting the next year after Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, she went to sleep and I woke her up about an hour later And I said, it's bonus Christmas. And she said, what are you talking about? And I put more Christmas presents under the tree, and she opened them, thus extending Christmas. It was bonus Christmas.
That's kind of sweet.
It is kind of sweet.
It's the same concept, though. Just different timing.
Yeah, you're pre-Christmas.
It just seemed, for some reason, I'm not saying it's wrong, it just seems stranger to me that it would happen before Christmas and several days, 5 days before Christmas.
Well,
that seems...
it doesn't always have to be that far. It's more so dependent on, you know, her work schedule and what time we have off.
Right.
Whenever you guys are available.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So,
and
like,
it's just
crazy.
The two of you. Other people can't visit you for little Christmas.
They can watch from afar, but they better not bother
now,
us.
Now, don't you think, though, in a few years, as the years go by and you still celebrate that, you're going to start letting people in? You're going to go, you know what? My brother has nothing to do tonight.
No.
Can he come
on? He's not invited.
Kevin.
Alex, you are not invited. Don't even try.
Don't ruin little Christmas for those around you.
Little Kevin, don't worry.
Judy wants in. I want in.
Sorry, guys.
Let us in.
Nope. Maybe we'll meet you at the bars later, Judy.
Do you think I still go out to the bars? You're funny. No.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Somebody grew up right before
the very eyes. Someone got really tired and can't
Is that what it is?
I mean, well, you know, we used to go out at 10.
Right. That's when the night started.
Now my kids are like that, you know. They're like, I'm like, are you going? Oh, so you're staying in tonight. Yesterday it was like 8:30. My son looks at me like I'm nuts. Well, now I'm going out. I'm like, well, it's 8:30. Well, I'm in my pajamas.
Is it affected by the fact, because this year's Christmas Day falls on a Friday, which could be a bar day, for a bar night, I should say, I guess, for a lot of people. Does the time of the week that Christmas falls on, does that affect people who go
so.
Out to booze it up a little
no,
bit?
I don't
no,
I think so. And I'm talking about the days leading up.
Sure.
My little Christmas, yeah, it was always, that whole week, whatever day it's on, the 5 days leading up, yeah. You know, you're in party mode. Well,
oh,
there
yeah.
are parties, of course.
Right.
I went to a lot more parties when I was younger.
What happened? Did people just stop inviting you? I hope that's
you know
not
what?
The case.
No, I don't go as much again. Well, there are fewer parties, but the ones I go to are fabulous, by
Good.
The way. But yeah, you know, it seemed like party, party, party when we were younger, right?
And not anymore.
No, that's the way life is. It's the way life should be.
That's the way life should be.
Yeah.
That's the way life. Kevin is still opening Christmas presents for Little Christmas in the producer's booth.
Yeah.
I just looked in. He's
still
opening
so
a couple of things. All right. We have a full show for you today. We'll explain more in just a little bit. If you want to jump in, like I said, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pylak in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thanks, Judy. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pylak, who is sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy has the rest of the week off. We were talking about a magical moment from television that we don't know if people have seen or not. On Saturday Night Live, you had two bang-up hosts, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who are promoting their new movie, Sisters. And then the musical guest was Bruce Springsteen, and I know you're a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
Mm-hmm.
To the extent,
who isn't?
I like him a lot, but you know, I've got friends who go to see him. One of my friends has seen him 11 times.
Right. I have a friend like that too.
And I understand that because, I mean, I get you can like somebody that much, but I don't get this part of it. I don't know if you fall into this bracket or not. My friend who has seen him 11 times never, ever, ever calls him Bruce Springsteen. To my friend, he is simply Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Only Bruce.
Yeah.
No last name necessary.
Well, yeah.
It could be Bruce Hornsby.
I get that.
The range.
It can only be. We know who Bruce is.
It's Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
At the end of Saturday Night Live, he came out to do a musical song, a little tribute to the holidays.
His famous, yeah, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Sounded fantastic. He was backed up by another musician that I think people might have heard of.
Paul.
Just Paul.
Paul.
Right.
Right.
Paul McCartney doing backup vocals.
Yeah, but it was just odd because he ran up on stage. At, you know, once Bruce was already, Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
Had already started singing. And
thank
he,
you for that. But who,
just
Bruce,
in case
who?
You didn't know it's Bruce.
Right.
And so Paul McCartney comes up on stage, grabs a microphone, and it was just odd because I don't, and I think I watched the whole thing because I went on, you know, YouTube and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't think Bruce ever looked at Paul once.
I noticed that. There wasn't a whole lot of eye interaction.
Right.
He knew that Paul McCartney was going to do this, that you don't want to surprise Bruce Springsteen on live television. But by the same token, you can't tell Paul McCartney no. You can't, like, if he says, I want to come up and, but you can't go.
Right. I want to know the backstory there. Why was he there? Why did he come up? And yeah,
I think just for star appeal, don't you think?
Because Bruce Springsteen wasn't enough.
Right.
And Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. That's the thing. I'm like, what do we need? You know, it was,
And Maya Rudolph was up there?
Yeah, I feel like Paul was just trying to, you know, squeeze in on the action.
Do you? Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think he was sitting in the audience the whole time, and he just ran up at the last minute.
I need to be part of this.
And Bruce is like, I am not looking at you. This is my song. Santa Claus is coming to town. He is not visiting your house.
He's one of those guys, though, I always think back, because he falls under the bracket of you can't say no to him. Like, if he says, wouldn't it be nice if I just, yeah, Paul, you're Paul McCartney going up there.
Absolutely.
Remember when Johnny Carson was the host of The Tonight Show, and from time to time, he would have a guest on, and then you'd hear the song, Thanks for the Memories, and Bob Hope would just walk out, and all of a sudden, whoever the guest was, you got to go, sorry,
Bob
important
Hope.
Guest, Bob Hope's here,
it's
I got to talk. Right, it's just Bob. So isn't Paul McCartney at this point in that same bracket of he's here, we can't not have him on the show.
What was his thinking? Why did he need to be on the show?
I think it's
let's be serious. I'm sure they asked him. Don't you think?
Oh,
yeah. They asked him to be on.
He's been like a friend of the show of Saturday Night Live for its whole existence.
Okay.
You know the backstory about the night, and this goes back 30 some odd years, where they were doing a bit about I can't remember who, I think Ringo Starr was not on. I can't remember what the circumstance was, but they did a bit on Saturday Night Live where they offered the Beatles like $500 to come on and be musical guests on the show. And the story I've heard since is that John Lennon and Paul McCartney called each other up and said, we should go do it. Wouldn't that be funny to just show up and do it? They even offered Ringo less money. They said, you can split the money any way you want. If you want to give Ringo less money, we're fine with that. But they were actually considering just showing up and being on Saturday Night Live. The Beatles.
The Beatles.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But they never did, of course.
They didn't do it. Mm-hmm. They did not do it. But it was one of those things where, like, as I'm watching this, I'm going, that's a lot of star power right there.
Yeah.
To have Springsteen. And I've never seen Paul McCartney just in the background, just kind of singing along with a song, not front and center. That was impressive.
Yeah. You're a bigger Paul fan than I am.
I'm
a bigger Bruce fan.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You seem like you'd be more of a Beatles person than a Springsteen person.
Well, Beatles, but Paul McCartney?
On his own, it doesn't do it for you.
No. Like, I would never, I'm never one to jump up. Oh, Paul's in town. Let's go see him.
You wouldn't do it.
Mm-mm, but I have seen Bruce at Wrigley Field.
Just the one time?
Just the one time.
Did he
Because someone gave me a ticket.
Oh, that's reason enough.
Yeah, but I was like, Bruce Springsteen? Yeah, I'll go.
Did he sing that one song about cars and New Jersey that he sometimes sings? That one song?
Yeah.
Are all of his songs about cars in New Jersey?
Yeah.
They all are, right?
Yeah, but he's just, you know, I don't know, maybe because I grew up with him, you know.
He sounded good. He's in tremendous shape.
He looks fantastic.
What's going on? How is he doing this?
Botox?
He's
I don't know.
He's the fountain of youth.
Yeah, but even his body is, I mean, how old is he?
He would be 92?
Stop it.
93?
I mean, he's definitely, what, 60s, right?
He's definitely 60. He's got to be at least 60.
Oh, no, 60s, upper 60s.
Oh, is he really?
Right?
And Paul McCartney's around 70. He's still
Paul McCartney's over 100.
He's not. He's not over 100. He's
and
right
you know
around
what? He
70.
He was right where he needed to be, backup singer.
Wow. Why all the scorn for Paul McCartney?
I just feel like he was trying to take away some of Springsteen's thunder. And you know what? It didn't work.
All right, we're getting some calls. Let's take them one at a time. It'll sound better. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm great. Happy holidays, you guys.
Thank you, Kevin.
Happy
you
holidays.
Too.
Kind of just going back to a little bit of the give and take that you guys are offering.
Sure.
When McCartney was on, I mean, he played the straightest guest or straightest role when he was on with Farley.
Oh, when it was the Chris Farley show on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, man. And remember when you came out with that album? Oh, man, it was great. Or you can probably remember a lot better than I can of what the actual roles were. And McCartney was so straight. And I'm not a big fan either. He played that role so straight. And Farley was just, he like started to slap himself in the face of, man, that was just a stupid question.
He just, one of his questions were just, remember when you were with the Beatles? Because a person
hilarious.
Would tend to remember that. So funny. Well, thank you, Kevin. Right. I forgot about that. But he has been, I mean, over the years, he's made several appearances. He's always fun to watch.
And it's really, that was the reason for the, or impetus for the call, too. He hasn't really shown up just to be, hey, I'm Paul, you know, that. He actually played a really good straight role.
Yeah. Very true. Right. Thanks,
but
Kevin.
Wait, was he on during that show? Was he on during the show? Because I didn't see the whole show.
Yeah, he that, 1,000 years ago. He was. I think he was the musical.
This past Saturday.
Oh.
Besides jumping up on stage to steal Bruce's thunder, was he in?
I didn't see the show yet, so I don't know. Kevin, do you know?
I don't think he was.
Yeah,
other
I don't
than
think
that,
he was either.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're right. You're right.
I'm just saying.
Ladies are always right.
Always. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
If you learn nothing else from today's show, please take that away from you. The lady is always right. Let me grab one more call really quick before we go to the news. Bill, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I was flipping back and forth between SNL and the John Lennon birthday party. And on the John Lennon birthday party, he didn't make a live appearance, but he did do a pre-recorded birthday message. So cool. I'm wondering if he was sitting in the SNL audience at the time while he was while the John Lennon party.
Who was running the? I didn't even know that that existed the other night. Who was running a John Lennon birthday party?
Kevin Bacon was hosting that.
Really?
On one of the networks? Really?
That was on. Oh God! Now you guys got me. I think was it on AMC or? Yeah.
Okay.
It was
now how weird? How weird is that? Paul shows up on Saturday Night Live, but not at John Lennon's birthday bash.
I wonder if that was that might have been taped though. Maybe.
That's a possibility. It was on back to back like three times, so.
Because you would think Paul McCartney, if he hears John Lennon's having a birthday celebration of some sort, you would show to that out of loyalty, right?
I would have thought he would.
I don't know. You know Paul better than I do.
Right. I do. Well, yeah, we all know Paul, you know.
Right.
But no, he wasn't even at the party. He did a pre-recorded message.
How about that?
See?
Interesting. Very interesting.
All right. All right.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
No
Have
problem.
A good day.
Hey.
Take care.
Happy holidays. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. So let's do this.
We've outed Paul.
I think we did to some extent. I think we did. All right. A quick break. We've got news. Veronica Carter will give you the news and then a lot more show ahead. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Judy Pilak in for Wendy, who's on vacation. Just a quick follow-up to our last discussion of Bruce Springsteen, or maybe you just call him Bruce because we're pressed for time.
Everyone who's in the know calls him Bruce.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Turns out Bruce Springsteen is 66 years old. He does not look 66 years old.
You think he's had some work?
I don't think he has.
Okay.
If he has, it's not the traditional Patrick McDonald, by the way, is the other voice you hear. It's not the traditional.
I think he's just really fit.
I think that's what it is.
Because, you know, he's got some wrinkles and stuff. I don't think he looks at all like he's had anything. But, yeah, he's.
And that's his wife up there on stage with him, right? That's Patty, his wife, is playing the guitar.
There were two girls this time, but
yeah.
She's the redhead, right?
Yes, I believe so. But they seem to be like bookends.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
It's his daughter.
No.
No?
No, no,
not
no.
old enough?
No.
All right.
I don't think it's his
daughter. You know the ages of his kids.
Several people, though, commenting on the fact. Where's the? There was the best one that said that you besmirching. Where is it? Here it is. Listening to someone besmirch Paul McCartney. This is directed, I believe, right at you, Judy. Listening to somebody besmirch Paul McCartney is like being a kid and hearing my parents fight.
Wow. I think he needs
therapy.
All right,
first of all, did they spell besmirch correctly?
No, they
all
did
right.
not.
And,
I wasn't going to mention that.
Just so that person knows, Wendy said that.
All right, good. She texted that to you and said it, so
yep,
yeah,
it
let's
Wendy.
Blame who's the responsible. Patrick McDonald is here. He's the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com and also FilmAutonomy.com.
That's right.
He's the chief guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com. Is that still going on this time of year, Pat?
No, we wrapped up our tours on November 30th. We can do private tours, though, if you have that family in town.
Yeah.
312-593-4455.
You could be coerced to do a private tour.
I could be coerced to do a private tour over the holidays, so please.
No, there are some films, not a whole lot. Some
yes.
holiday films have taken place here in Chicago. Home Alone, for instance,
yes.
in the northern suburbs.
Yes. Very good. And
did they
of course,
do some
Fred
of the new
Claus? Fred Claus. Of
oh,
course.
The holiday favorite Fred Claus yes. was also shot here.
Yes.
Remind us again who was in Fred Claus?
That would be Mr. Vince Vaughn.
That's right.
Mr. Chicago. As
That's
we
right.
call him.
Didn't they do part of the remake of Miracle on 34th Street? Didn't they do part of it here as well? Am I imagining that?
Maybe,
they didn't.
But you know, Hughes liked to use Chicago. Like in Home Alone 2, he fixed up the Uptown movie theater, the lobby,
yep.
to look like the toy store in Home Alone 2.
I remember that.
A little trivia that's on the film tour.
And some scenes at O'Hare Airport.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That's where my wife was in Home Alone too. She played the flight attendant who accidentally puts Kevin McAllister on the wrong plane, which I've pointed out to her many times. Without that, there is no Home Alone 2.
Right.
If you put the kid on the right plane.
What an integral part of that
I think
movie.
So too.
You're a family of superstars.
Thank you. Now, Patrick, you're here today to talk about something very specific. And
yes.
We did this a little bit last year.
Yes, we did.
Holiday films are a very important part of the Christmas season.
Exactly, especially this week as we ramp up to the day, if you will. And the thing that I wanted to talk about first was the alternate holiday films. A lot of people love Die Hard.
Yes.
They, you know, it's not Christmas until Hans Gruber falls off the Nakatomi building.
Right.
As we've noticed.
Spoiler alert to anyone who has not seen Die Hard.
I can't remember one thing about that movie.
Nothing?
No.
Dude, please.
I know. I tried to watch it recently because everyone was talking about it, and I can't find it anywhere. I'm like, I'm not going to pay to see Die Hard.
Patrick and I will act out scenes for you from Die Hard after the show.
You know what? I'll try looking for it again.
You'll enjoy it.
And the other alternative one, Gremlins. Gremlins
oh,
is
yeah.
set during the holiday season.
It is.
People like the madness of that film.
Well, here's the thing with Die Hard. It does take place during the Christmas holiday,
yes.
but it's not your traditional, as you pointed out, you said non-traditional films. It really has little to do with Christmas or anything, but because just by virtue of the fact that it's taking place at Christmas,
right.
a lot of people say, but that is a Christmas movie.
Yes, and people who sort of like want an anti-holiday,
right?
they go for things like Die Hard. And then the third one is The Ref. Do you know The Ref?
Yeah, is that Dennis Leary?
Yes, Dennis Leary plays a small-time crook who kidnaps a family who is so dysfunctional.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of funny.
Bette Midler, is she the mom in that? I'm trying to remember.
No,
Kevin Spacey, maybe?
It's Kevin Spacey, right, and Judy Davis.
Oh, right.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Kevin Spacey. He plays the same character in American Beauty, except with less swearing. It's quite amazing.
You know, there was a time, because that's a Disney film, there was a time where Disney just made what I called the shouting comedies, which were, usually it was Danny DeVito or Shelley Long or Bette Midler, and they would just yell at each other for the whole movie. They had a whole branch of movies where it was just, let's get two famous people to just yell at each other for 100 minutes.
I'm shocked that those were Disney movies.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It doesn't seem like Disney movies.
You've discovered a new genre.
Huh.
Can I throw in another counterculture?
Yes,
right.
Please.
To me, Bad Santa is such a perfect Christmas but not Christmas movie at the same time. Hard to watch with the whole family, but enjoy. Have you seen Bad Santa?
Yeah, it's hard to watch, period. It's a little it's so uncomfortable.
Yes.
But it is hilarious.
Start to
it
finish.
Is.
They made a version, I'm sure you're aware of this, they made a version called, I want to say Batter Santa. I know that's grammatically incorrect, but they juiced up. There was, for a year or two, you could buy a version called Batter Santa.
Oh, right.
Which was like a juiced up, even angrier more
same
cuss-filled,
character, same actors,
same movie.
Same film.
They just all the scenes that got cut out because they were too raunchy.
Okay.
They
really
threw back
raunchier?
In. I know.
That's hilarious.
And you will be glad to hear that they're the Bad Santa 2 now in pre-production.
Are they doing another one?
They are. The cult has spoken, just like Star
I've been
Wars.
Hoping that they would do a sequel. Years ago at another station, we had Billy Bob Thornton in. He's in a band called the Boxmasters, and he and the band was in. And I said to him, which of your movies could you watch over and over? Because a lot of actors say, I did a movie, I can't watch myself act. And he gave a version of that. He goes, I don't want to see my own movies. And then the band all stared at him, and he goes, except for one, and that one movie is Bad Santa.
Perfect.
He loves watching himself in that movie.
Yeah. I love him.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Patrick McDonald is here. We're talking about holiday classics, some traditional, some a little non-traditional. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilak in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilak. Judy's filling in for Wendy this week. Our guest is Patrick McDonald, who we've had on the show many, many times, film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com and FilmAutonomy.com, chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour, which is not up and running currently, but he can be coerced for the right amount of money and the right, you say the kind words to Patrick, and he will give you and your family and friends a great tour of all the city's Chicagoland locations for filming. Patrick, we're getting a bunch of texts. I'm going to throw a title out. Now, I'm going to read it the way the text is written, but I think there
does he have besmirch in it?
It does not. This text does not have the
and
word besmirch.
And if he does, it's Wendy's fault.
They ask this question over at the 312 area code. What about The Christmas Martian? Now, I think they mean a slightly different title. Do you know which title we're referring to?
I believe Santa Claus conquers the Martians. Yes, with the great Pia Zadora.
As a small girl, a small child.
It's Monday, December 21st. I'm Jill Egan. News on Chicago's Progressive Talk is brought to you by Galaxy.
Thank you, Jill.
I thought that was a clip from the movie. I was like, that sounds terrible.
Now, it's widely considered to be, by anyone who's ever seen a film or walked past a drive-in, to be one of the worst movies of all time.
Yes.
Because it is.
Yes.
It's terrible. Have you ever seen it,
infamously
no,
terrible.
No, I've never even heard of it. Pia Zadora?
Yes. So bad. So bad.
And this was, as we discussed last year, this was a part of the children's matinee during the 60s. Remember, they used to have matinees in the 60s.
On
where
Saturdays
you'd be a quarter,
and Sundays.
And you would see a Christmas movie, get a candy cane, Santa would come in,
yep.
Et cetera, et cetera. And Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is part of that genre,
yep.
Which includes other movies, so...
It wasn't even worth a quarter.
You've got a lot of things
is that
to
what you're
do
saying?
Over the next few days.
It wasn't even worth a quarter.
It wasn't worth a quarter. They've used, in the past, they've used it for, if a prisoner can't decide between hanging or being shot, they can also offer the option of watching Santa Claus Conquers the Martians as a way of extinguishing the prisoner.
Wait, and how long is that movie?
It seems like a week. It's only an hour and a half, but it seems like about a week. It's so awful. It's so awful.
It's a full movie. That's hilarious.
There's a movie that meant a lot to me as a kid, okay. And I can't remember, Patrick, because we had you on it at this time last year talking about obscure Christmas films.
Correct.
A movie called The Christmas That Almost Wasn't.
The Italian film.
It's an Italian film with Rosano Brazzi.
Yes. Yes. We did slightly talk about that last year.
Have you ever seen this one?
I have. It is about a miser who tries to, sort of a Scrooge story.
Right.
But a miser who freely goes up to the North Pole with no travel restrictions whatsoever.
Right. Right.
What strikes you about this particular film?
It was a movie, and I think everybody has a movie like this somewhere in the back of their head. Because I saw that movie at one of those Saturday matinees that you're talking about with my mom and my brother and some friends, and I remembered it so fondly of what a great Christmas film this was. And I searched for it for years and years and years and finally found it on DVD and watched it. And every frame of it is hideous. There's not a single millisecond in that movie that is worthwhile. So what is it about being a kid and seeing a movie and going, this is fantastic. And then you see it as an adult and you go, or not. It's really not good.
We forgive so much it's children, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes,
and
we
other
do.
Things, other things come into play. You know, you had candy probably. You were out of the house. You were in a theater.
Yeah.
Your mom
yeah.
left you alone for a while.
There was a lot of happiness.
Right? You were like, this is the greatest movie ever.
I'll lend it to you. You'll never speak to me again. Yeah. If you watch this movie, you'll hate me with every inch of your being.
What else is out there?
This is a text from 815, and they say that Ice Harvest was a great Christmas movie.
Man.
I have a different... Are you with me? I have a very different opinion of Ice Harvest.
You know, I like the film, but it's a downer, man.
John Cusack movie.
Yeah.
John Cusack gets mixed up with some nasty people.
Who else is in that? It's been a long time since I've seen it, but...
It's a Harold Ramis movie, isn't it? Didn't he direct Ice Harvest?
Are we talking about... Ice Harvest, does it have the key party in it?
No.
Oh.
That's the Ice Storm.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that was with Kevin Kline.
Yes.
See, that's what I'm
that was actually
of.
Really, I'm thinking, well, that was a Christmas movie.
What's the
movie?
Plot of Ice Harvest? It's been since it came out.
I'm so reluctant to give any key. All I can tell you is John Cusack plays a guy who gets mixed up with some ne'er-do-wells and it doesn't go well. That's all I can tell you. And it does take place at Christmas, but if you're looking for, if grandma's over, and you're looking for a fun Christmas movie to keep her entertained, I don't know that I'd go Ice Harvest. Very unlike Harold Ramis, too, by the way. Not at all like him. Give us one or two that can't miss. What are just a couple that you cannot go wrong with?
Well, here's something that we discovered this year on Pat and Ken at the Holidays, if you watch YouTube. We're No Angels with Humphrey Bogart. Now, have you seen that?
Yeah.
Where Bogart plays one of three convicts who escapes from Devil's Island and infiltrates a family on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And suddenly gives them hope.
Yeah.
And it's beautifully in the Christmas spirit, which really surprised me because I hadn't seen it in years. And Peter Ustinov's 25 years old, and Aldo Ray is in it. The Great
It's a
Elbow
fun movie.
Ray. It's a very
and
fun
And remade
movie.
With Robert De Niro and Sean Penn years
Correct.
Later.
Correct. But I don't think they used the Christmas
they did
theme
not.
In that. Yeah. So definitely check out that one. Under the surreal Christmas category, one of the reasons Judy Garland came up today is if you go on YouTube, you can download the Judy Garland Christmas special from 1963.
It's wonderful.
It is crazy, isn't it?
Because the party started before they started filming the special for Judy, right?
Way before.
She was a little Way tipsy before. Throughout the entire special.
What's interesting about this special, of course, it was filmed 2 weeks after the Kennedy assassination. So everybody's in a good mood.
Oh, no.
December 6, 1963.
They never make reference to it.
They never. Right. No. But you can tell there's an air of sadness in the yeah. special. The Velvet Fog's in it.
Mel Torme in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where Judy Garland butchers a Christmas song and he notices because that's his paycheck.
That's fun to watch.
Well,
why don't I remember Mel Torme
one.
In it? It's been years I since I've know. Seen it, but for some reason I don't
the
remember
great,
him.
The great Jack Jones is also in it. He's
the man probably, who sang the Love Boat
he's
theme.
He's probably about 24 in this.
Yeah.
And him and Lorna Luft do a wonderful little duet.
Judy's daughter?
Yes.
Where can people find that?
On YouTube. Or you can get it on DVD, but on YouTube they have the actual commercials. So if you have that smart TV
yeah.
working in your living room, that's one to download.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Star Wars Holiday Special time, too, Bill.
Now, that's the one that no one's supposed to see anymore because
right.
Lucasfilm pulled it out of distribution. It was so bad that they don't even acknowledge it anymore.
Which is a mistake because it's so bad it's good, although it's a torturous 90 minutes.
Can I tell you, the only parts I remember, and
Why?
It's been
Why
years.
Why would you even put it on for 2 minutes if it's that
it's,
bad?
It's so awful. All I remember about it is this, and I saw it when it first aired, and I've never seen it since, is that Art Carney is in it and looks so embarrassed to be in it, and Beatrice Arthur, she sings a song, doesn't
yes,
she, in Bea it?
Yes, Arthur sings.
Tell me the premise of a Star Wars Christmas.
You get to meet Chewbacca's family. I remember that. Because they would. Why wouldn't they celebrate Christmas? Why wouldn't Chewbacca
right.
and his family?
Christmas is Life Day.
They call it Life Day. Yeah, you're right. Right. You're right.
All right, just stop there.
And one of the things that I noticed.
I'm already bored.
Chewbacca's family, his grandfather's scratchy, and he's all gray.
Yeah.
So how come Chewbacca wasn't yeah. gray? There, a flaw. In
I
the
think
Star
Chewbacca's
Wars
dying
universe.
His hair. I'm pretty sure he's got some kind of...
He's using Grecian formula.
Grecian formula for Wookiees.
Chewbacca formula. Wookiees.
You Wookiee fantastic. That's the tagline that they used. But seriously, Lucasfilm, after years and years of people saying, please
yes.
do something, this is hurting my memory, they won't even avow that they even made this special. They're so embarrassed.
I just don't know why they don't do a spectacular Blu-ray release next season, you know. I mean, especially with the big hype going on
right
now.
Yep, so true. Well, Patrick, this is fun. I know how much movies mean to people, especially at holiday time. It really is. It's part of the tradition of the season.
And you know what? Don't forget, there's always Lifetime.
There's always Lifetime.
I mean, nonstop Christmas movies right now.
Or as we call it at the house, the Meredith Baxter Burney channel, because she's
yes.
in everything that they've ever done
one,
on
yeah.
Lifetime.
They always
and
get
pretty
the boy.
Much, yeah, they're all about love.
I know. They should
Between
be.
Between two people only.
Patrick McDonald's work can be seen at several places, HollywoodChicago.com or FilmAutonomy.com. He likes the word besmirched, so if you can put that in an email, he would enjoy that. And happy holidays, Patrick.
Happy holidays. I have an attitude of gratitude toward Bill and Wendy and Judy, and thank you for allowing me to come on the air so much this year.
Absolutely.
It was a brilliant time.
Thanks. We love
see,
having you.
See you next year.
Blessings.
See you next year,
That's
as
I'm
they
say. All day. See you next year.
Thanks, Patrick. More after this. It's Bill F. and Judy along, in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Veronica, we're getting texts from people in Calumet City who say that they like the pronunciation Calumet City more. They're actually going to change it to Calumet City.
Well, you know, there's always that. Or, well, I was going to say Calumet, but that just sounds bad.
Well, for the dogs who live in the area, I think Calumet City, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
I know, I'd go to a place named Calumet.
They're flexible over there. You mentioned a story in the news, and we were talking about it earlier today, so let's discuss it now. And that's the Miss Universe pageant and the strange twist ending that they had at the end. Now, if I'm getting this right, Steve Harvey announced to the billions and billions of people listening and watching the show, and it's aired throughout the universe. This is the Miss Universe pageant. It's just not here on Earth, Judy. It's everywhere in the universe. That Miss Columbia was the winner of the Miss Universe pageant. So she accepted the award and the trophy, and she did her
crying,
walk.
Crying, so
everything
happy,
that comes along
so
with winning.
Yeah.
And then it turns out Miss Philippines was the winner. So an apology was made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by rights, don't you have to somehow have co-winners? You can't announce a winner and then say, uh-oh, you're not going to believe this. Horrible mistake.
Right, and I didn't see it. Did he take the literally take the crown off her head?
He didn't do it himself, but somebody who worked for the pageant did it. And you just see her look like, oh, you're kidding. Really? That I finally won the Miss Universe pageant, and then somebody else
that
won?
That is so ridiculous.
The weirdest thing. I'll read you part of the story. The Miss Universe contestant, from the Philippines is this year's winner, but for one brief moment on Sunday evening, it appeared as if it might be a repeat win for Colombia. I didn't know they had won in the past. I had not seen last year's Miss Universe pageant, as it turns out. Colombia contestant Arianda Gutierrez Arevalo was already wearing the crown as this year's Miss Universe winner when host Steve Harvey returned to apologize. You see, by the way, everyone is stunned. I watched the video of this last night. Everybody's looking around like, wait, is this...
Including Miss Philippines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Harvey said it was his mistake and that he would take responsibility. Well, what responsibility is there at this point?
His responsibility was, yeah, I apologize.
Right, that's it.
What, can he read?
I think he can read.
No, I don't think
he can
read.
I know he can read. He would take responsibility for not correctly reading the card, which said the contestant Pia Alonzo Wurzbach from the Philippines. That doesn't sound like a Philippine name to
no,
me,
it doesn't.
Filipino name. Was this year's winner, and Colombia was actually the first runner-up, which is really almost as good as winning.
Right, and so maybe the first runner-up's name was first.
Right.
And instead, in his excitement, he read it as the winner.
You can't do that.
Right. Can you imagine if this had happened, you know, like at your child's elementary school or something?
Oh. All hell would break loose.
There'd be new laws. There would be new laws in Springfield if that happened.
They would get rid of Gary McCarthy again. They would hire Gary McCarthy to be the superintendent, and then they would refire him if that were to happen.
Yeah.
He held up the card for Fox Network cameras, who blamed it on Obama, because that's what that's what they do at Fox. They blamed it all on Obama. He held up the card for Fox Network cameras to see up close afterward. So he's blaming someone. It's my fault, but look, it's somebody else's fault. Here's what the card says.
But what did the card say?
Well, let's see. Talking with reporters afterwards, Harvey said that an executive for the pageant owner called it a human error. Nobody feels worse about this than me. No, you know who feels worse about this? The woman who had the crown on. Miss Colombia probably feels worse. A mystified Wurzbach, which are words that I've never seen next to each other, a mystified Wurzbach appeared stunned as she walked to the front of the stage alongside the crowd-wearing Arevalo before last year's Miss Universe from Colombia removed the crown and placed it on Wurzbach's head. So that's the duty of last year's winner, is if they make a mistake like this, you have to take the crown off the person who thought they won.
I wouldn't
head.
Do it. No, nope. I would say, nope, you do
you
it.
You do it, Steve Harvey.
Yeah, you do it, non-reader. So I'm still confused. Was it incorrectly written, or did he read it incorrectly?
Here's what I think happened. They don't really explain this in the story.
Well, it's kind of strange. Where are the facts?
But I think they give him either a card at a time, or on the prompter it's one at a time. And he saw the name and assumed that was the name of the winner, but in reality, it was the name of the first runner-up.
Okay.
Now, do they do...
Because what was the point of him showing the card to the cameras?
Just as if to say, look, I'm reading the name that was on a card. I didn't just make up a name off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote this name down, but in reality, the mistake wasn't that it was written down. The mistake was that he assumed it was the winner and not the first runner-up. That's what I guess.
Yeah.
Will he be asked back next year?
I was going to say, what's the fallout from this? Maybe a new host?
I know.
Well,
somewhere Tom Bergeron is smiling and wetting his lips.
So, you know, the whole Donald Trump thing, he just sold the Miss Universe pageant.
I know he did.
So he tweeted out today, very sad what happened last night at Miss Universe pageant. I sold it 6 months ago for a record price.
Trump should start bringing the first runner-up on his campaign trail.
Right.
Like, yeah, right.
She could get her 15 minutes of fame out of this, too, and he could get what he gets. You know,
I don't deal with losers.
Right, exactly, because then he ends with, this would never have happened.
That's what he said, right?
When he owned it, because apparently he wrote the cards out for the winners.
Right.
You know.
When Trump ran the pageant,
right.
He was the one on the side with a black Sharpie writing the
thank
names.
Thank God he sold it for a record price. Surprised he didn't put the price in there like he normally does.
So then did he say, if Jeb Bush is elected as nominee, this is going to happen all the time?
Oh,
every
gosh,
beauty
yeah.
pageant's
yeah.
going to run afoul.
Pretty much he has called him stupid, so yes. yes. But let's see.
Judy,
I
this
think
makes
Jeb
me...
would have read the card right.
Oh, he would have.
Yeah.
This makes me never want to watch the Miss Universe pageant
this
again.
This makes me never want to be in the Miss Universe pageant.
I can't
so
trust
I'm
anyone.
I'm not going to do it. I was kind of thinking
Are you
about
out?
It.
You're not going to do
out.
It?
I'm out.
No more for you? All right. Let's take a quick break. We've got a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill Leff, and Wendy Snyder's off this week. Judy Pilak's filling in, so stick around. More ahead, WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Judy Pilak in for Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. If you want to call in or text in, you can. A lot of texts coming in.
And
about,
if I say anything inappropriate or
yeah,
offensive,
yeah.
it's Wendy.
Right.
And then I'm Wendy.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm Judy. Nice Judy. Bad Wendy.
Right, so true. Actually, somebody texted in, can you imagine somebody trying to remove the crown from Wendy's head? Wendy wears a crown, but it's a Burger King crown. And I keep telling her it doesn't make you Miss Universe just because you have a Burger King crown on. But she doesn't
Why tell
see it
her
that?
That? Just let her live the dream.
I guess. Bill, Miss Columbia was Miss Universe. This is a text from 708. Bill, Miss Columbia was Miss Universe for about a minute. How many ladies can say that? I would put it on my resume.
Yeah. I mean, there were some pictures taken, obviously. She can probably
right.
get a hold of those and
right.
be like, no, 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 no. I was Miss
I
Universe.
I was Miss Universe
yeah.
2015.
You can clearly see me wearing the crown. They don't just let anyone ever even put that crown on unless they are Miss Universe.
Do you think they will hire Steve Harvey to call off the lottery ball winners anywhere now? I think he lost that possible job, don't you?
What does he do? Does he have a talk show or something?
He's got a he's got a talk show right across the...
Because apparently he doesn't talk very good. You know what I mean?
Well, he works right across
the
courtyard from us. He's got a
does
talk
he?
Show over
does
there.
Does he still work there?
Yeah. Hmm. Unless they've rescinded that. I don't know. There is only one Miss Universe pageant, so of course it was sold at a record price. Yeah, Trump always plays
right,
everything
exactly.
up as though because my name is attached,
yeah.
it's sold at a record price.
Oh, yeah.
But
you know, he made billions off that. Who even watches the Miss? Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess people do. I'm not really even sure.
People still do.
Well, how do you get to the Miss Universe? Do you have to win, like, the Miss USA?
The winner of our planet, Miss Earth, goes up against all the other solar systems. And if they win that, they advance to the Miss Universe
okay,
pageant.
Okay, now it all makes sense, yeah.
It does seem rude. It's like the World Series. We call it, here in American baseball, we call it the World Series, but we don't allow teams from anywhere else in the world except
right.
the Toronto Blue Jays. Nobody else can participate,
yeah.
and yet we call it the World Series. So this beauty contest calls themselves the Miss Universe pageant, but I never see anyone
yeah,
from other planets.
You know
planets.
Why? I'm sure Donald Trump came up with that because no one could top that.
Right.
What else is there? The
right.
Miss
well, Trump said we got to build a
universe,
wall
the,
around
yeah.
our planet and not let any other planets.
Right.
This would be the year with Star Wars so popular. If you're going to let anyone else from any other planets, this would be the year. Come on. How about this? As we've established this on the show more than once, Judy. I don't know if you've heard. I'm not much of a pet person. You're more of a pet person, aren't you? You've got a couple pets?
No, I had a cat. I put her down.
Oh, you did?
This year.
Was she sick or you just
you know
got
what?
Tired of her?
She was doing her duty all over the house and she wouldn't stop. And she was 14. But I thought I didn't like her that much, so I thought it'd be easy. Oh, no.
Now you miss her a little bit?
I cried for
did you?
Weeks.
For weeks.
I changed out the picture of my son Luke next to my on my nightstand, and I put her up there. Her name was Sweet. And he came
wow.
home, he's like, what the what?
Wow, I don't blame him.
It was horrible. I didn't realize how much I did love her, but she's gone.
Here's a story. I'm sorry about that,
and
by
I'm
the way.
Not getting another one, so I'm kind of in your column now.
You're done?
Mm-hmm.
They have picked what they say will be. These are pet experts, and I'm guessing that would include our friend Steve Dale, who's a noted pet expert. They have picked what will be the pet for 2016. You know, for
Let
years and
big.
Years and years.
Let it be big, not small.
It's medium-sized.
All right.
That's the only clue I'm going to give you right now. For years and years and years, the pet world has said it's dogs and cats, and there's a few kind of on the periphery of dogs and cats. But when I tell you what the pet of the year for 2016 will be, I think you'll think that Steve Harvey told me to say this because this can't possibly
now, are you sure
be
you're
true.
Reading that right?
Yes, the pet of the year for 2016 is Miss Columbia. the pet of the year.
Wait,
what?
You mean Miss Philippines?
Miss Philippines
there,
actually
see,
is the pet of the year for
go.
2016.
So, Columbia had the pet of the year for a second.
First, take a guess. What do you think? Because there's some pets that all of a sudden become semi-popular. For instance, when I was a kid, my brother for a little while had a ferret, which is a polite way of saying a weasel. A mm-hmm. ferret's a weasel. My brother had a weasel.
Yeah.
And it ate everything.
I have friends who have rats. They love them.
Why?
You know what? Apparently, they're really good pets.
What would it be about a rat, though?
How agreed.
You know
rats
what?
Rats and ferrets are awesome.
They're white.
What?
They're white rats, and they, you know, I know. And I'm telling you, it is weird.
They're social creatures.
Yeah,
truly.
They're great pets, apparently. They love them.
If you had a pet rat, you would keep it in a cage of some sort, right? You wouldn't just let it roam freely around the house,
yeah,
would
you? Yeah,
I think
they do have a cage, but it roams, you know, they let it out and it goes on their shoulder and, yeah.
Do they live in a house or an apartment?
They live in a gorgeous, beautiful house.
With a rat?
I'm telling you, these are people who, yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine.
It's not like they found the rat in the basement of this house. No, they live in a really nice house, so they bought the rat. Yeah, they bought the rat for sure. Okay, and so when you were asking about, I just assumed it was a dog. Cause, you know,
No. Dogs and cats have been forever.
Okay, so this is something that's not a dog or a cat.
A jellyfish. They say that the jellyfish will become the pet of the year in 2016.
Can't buy jellyfish.
It turns out you can. There's a guy who's got a startup company. This is a Kickstarter right now, and it's called Jellyfish Art. It said, thanks to Jellyfish Art, a company now running over Kickstarter, your dream of owning a pet jellyfish could soon become a reality. Is that a dream you've ever had? Because I've never had that dream.
No, I don't think
Never had that dream.
Let me think. No.
This is not your daddy's fish tank. It's a sleek and modern cylinder with an ever-changing multicolor LED light at the bottom and a gentle air pump that allows marine life to flourish. It says here at Huffington Post, we asked Jellyfish Art about the tank's construction. Now, I have to say before I read this part to you, I'm not a pet person, but I watched this video earlier today. It's a tank, and it's got three jellyfish in it, and it's got an LED light that keeps changing colors. It goes from purple to blue to green. It really does look like a sci-fi experiment, but it really is pretty. I'm not saying I would get one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've already purchased my Christmas gift this year, Judy. I'm not saying
okay,
I want one.
I could take it back.
It says here, water flow is key. Jellies, I used to call them jellyfish, but I guess the kids just call them jellies. Jellies are like a wet ball of tissue. Sold. I don't need to know anything else. Are like a wet ball of tissue floating around in the tank. If you get close to a filtration intake in a regular fish tank, they would get sucked in and badly mangled. They're made up of 90% water, so they're very delicate, not unlike yourself. The water flow in the tank is designed to have a very gentle outflow spread over the large surface area. Our design is the first commercially available cylindrical design. I'll show you the video. Actually, Kevin, can we get this up on Facebook? Is that possible? All right, take a look at it. It's not like having a rat where you go, there's a rat in the house. This is contained. You know where your jellyfish are
right.
At all time.
I don't know. There's just something very weird about that.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not weird.
Although, I don't know. Why is it weird? I guess because it's never been done before. I guess you could have a jellyfish for a pet.
But to me, Jude,
shouldn't they be left in the ocean?
Yes.
At the Shedd Aquarium?
But that's my thought about any pet. It's just weird to me to have an animal roaming around your house. And I've had people explain to me ad nauseum, no, it's natural.
But you've
it's
never
part of the
had
family.
A pet, ever?
When I was a kid, I didn't want pets. So my parents' way of dealing with this was we had every pet in the world. They kept bringing in more and more pets. It was like living...
Why don't you want a pet,
right,
Bill?
You'll like this. It was like living with Dr. Doolittle.
Because they...
You want
they,
a porpoise?
Because
we'll
they thought
a
something
porpoise.
Was wrong with you because you didn't want a pet?
I so didn't want
I
a pet.
I would have been so happy with a kid who didn't want a pet.
But we had dogs and we had gerbils and we had turtles and we... I mean, whatever you could possibly buy at the time, we had. And I didn't want them in the house. I love them out in the wild. If I'm in a forest or something like that, I love having them there. If I'm in
where the dogs usually roam in the forest,
right? You'll see.
You don't want to. If you see a dog in the forest preserve, run.
Something's wrong.
Because that dog's going to get you.
Something's so wrong.
Well, at least it's not a dog. So
708 says this, Jude. Jellyfish are like having a living lava lamp.
Yeah, you know because.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's cruel to keep a jellyfish in a cylinder, but why? Because I go in the ocean and there's a jellyfish, I just want to kill it.
It's bad news.
Oh, yeah.
It's very bad news. I have no idea what you even feed them. I don't know what they eat. What do jellyfish eat?
Yeah, water.
Peanut butter.
Do they eat peanut butter? Peanut butter and jellyfish?
Themselves? Other jellyfish?
Yeah, they do. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then our friend Eric Zorn joins us right after Veronica Carter's news. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Judy Pilak. Judy is sitting in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back in 2016. I know that seems like it's far away, but it is not far away. Every Monday, we get a visit from Tribune columnist Eric Zorn, and every week, Eric picks an adjective by which we will describe him in his introduction. Today, he is the monovisual Tribune columnist, Eric Zorn. Eric, first of all, thank you for being here. Second of all, explain to anybody who does not know why you would be called the monovisual Tribune columnist.
It's a term that I just learned a couple days ago, and as listeners remember, probably quite painfully, I was not here last Monday.
Yes.
In the usual spot.
Yes.
I don't know, would you just run dead air without me?
We ran an episode of the show from 1963.
That's a smart thing to do. I was having eye surgery. I had a cataract in my left eye. And I know you think I'm too young for that. Which
You're
actually,
way too young for
actually,
that.
Actually, the doctor said that I am pretty young for that, but I did have that done. And so what they
What
do,
are you, like 20?
Yeah, I'm about 20.
Right around 20.
Really, I don't think you're too young for it, but go ahead.
No, well, the doctor said, maybe he's just being nice, you know? I don't know. But anyway, so I had this an operation. A cataract, basically, they take the lens out of you, right? Your lens is getting clouded. They take it out. They put in a new lens.
Yeah.
This used to be a huge deal. And if you remember back, you know, years ago, people would wear those wraparound protective glasses for a long time, and they would be in the hospital for a long time. And I was, like, in and out before noon last Monday.
That quickly.
Yeah, and painless operation, basically.
And how's your vision?
Well, I was going to say, what they do is they put a lens in your eye, and I've been farsighted and astigmatic for a long time. So what they do is they put a lens, and they say, well, what lens do you want in your eye? And I said, well...
Telephoto.
The one I can see out of.
X-ray is what I want. I said, I ordered it from the comic book. And right here. No, they... and so they you choose what focal length you want. So I chose for this left eye, I chose it to be at about 3 feet, 2.5, 3 feet.
You can pick that specifically.
So, yeah. Because I want to be able to work on the computer without glasses.
Right.
So now this left eye, which had been my bad eye, I could barely see out of it for a long time. Now it's like perfectly clear at computer distance. And my right eye, which is still just, you know, farsighted and astigmatic, I wear a contact lens in that eye, and that's adjusted for 20/20 vision for distance vision. So I have these two eyes that do totally different things. One of them is focused at a distance, and I can, you know, read all the signs out here.
Yeah.
And then the other eye is up close, so I've got this strange thing, and that's called
monovision. I'm going to call that X-ray vision. X-ray
vision.
I think you got what you asked for.
It could be.
Will this mess up your depth perception when you drive?
Well, this is what I want. I've been talking to people about this because it's been a kind of an odd adjustment to have this.
I would imagine.
Because you, with both eyes do it. It's kind of like, I don't know, you wear contacts ever?
No.
Or have you ever had a lens pop out of your glasses where all of a sudden your eyes are just doing totally different things? It seemed like it would be really hard to get used to, and it's taken me the better part of a week just not to always be thinking about it. But I'm slowly getting used to it. I've talked to some people who have this, who've done like LASIK surgery.
Yeah.
It's very similar actually to LASIK in a way that when you get LASIK surgery, the doctors can adjust your eye the way you want it. And I've talked to some people who have this, and they're quite used to it after a while. So I've been asking people, is this the way to go? This monovision thing where you're, I can't wear glasses anymore now because then my glasses don't work.
You've worn glasses since I've known you.
Yeah, well, since
for
I was
decades.
20, yeah, since I was 20, just a couple of years ago when I was 20.
Yeah, see, I had the same surgery last year.
Yeah, so tell me about
last year, 2 years ago. Same thing though. I wore glasses my whole life, and it's so strange not to have to wear glasses. I only really wore them though to see far. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would never put them on if I was on the computer. But interestingly, I got the lens so I can, see far. So
right.
Nearsighted.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And my other eye is okay, although I'm starting to have another one there. So, because I had eye surgery, which caused this to happen quicker.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm much too young.
Oh,
of course.
Goodness.
Like,
way
too
young.
Yeah, yes. Way too young.
You had to have your parents sign some forms.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But you know what? The best thing that ever happened to me... Gosh, I remember one day looking out my picture window at my house. There's a park across the street.
Yeah.
And I could like see runners all the way on the other side of the park. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It was the best
it's
thing
that
ever.
Good.
But, so you have a version of what I have, which is
yes.
That your one eye, the one that you got fixed, is 20/20.
Exactly.
And the other one is...
It's still okay, but I'm starting to get another cataract. And that one I will... Do to see close.
Is that what
that I will have 20/20 vision.
You're gonna be what they call monovisual.
Yes.
Which is because the rest of us are normal people, unlike you and me, are
special people.
Stereo visual.
Mm-hmm. But right. But people tell me that it's the way to go.
It is. Now I will say though, since you brought up the depth perception,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is a little off. Like when I go downstairs, I always think there's one more stare. Like, if there's not something that will differentiate, you know, if
well, because your eyes are at odds over what the reality is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's a little bit weird for that. But otherwise, I mean, driving, everything else is just perfect.
Well, did it take you some time to get used to it?
Yes.
Because this is what I've been freaking out about for the last...
No, it's only been a week. No.
Doesn't this cause headaches? I would think you'd get headaches.
I would think so, too. Yeah, that's just what
I was getting
about.
Headaches before I had the surgery. It was horrible because my eyes were so bad, and I was trying to adjust with bad eyes. So when I had the surgery, it was the best thing ever.
Well, my dad had cataracts in both eyes, and he had them both set for reading distance. And so he wears glasses to drive.
It's not your father's cataract.
It's not my
father's cataract. That's what
they say. Ooh, good one, Bill.
You can sell that to your eye doctor.
So it's like it's this one thing. It's one terrible thing about getting older is cataracts. And it used to be, before they figured out how to fix this, old people just go blind.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is, now at our age, I think it's starting younger and younger. It used to be when you were over 70 or in your 80s, you got the cataract surgery. Now it's people our age get it
40s,
all the time.
50s.
Right. Yeah. And I would never have done LASIK. That just seems like risky and expensive to start putting lasers on your eye. I mean, wearing glasses.
Says the guy who wants X-ray vision.
Yeah. Well, that.
But they won't do LASIK. Like, I have to wear glasses now to read. I had perfect vision forever, and in the last 2 years, it's fallen apart.
Welcome to middle age, Bill.
I know. So I've asked about LASIK for that, and they won't do it if you just need it for reading. They consider that to be a waste of time.
Well, I'm told that they have these cataract replacement lenses that are bifocal.
Yeah, Steve Bertrand just told me he's getting that done.
He's getting bifocal ones?
So he can see up close.
Oh, really?
My surgeon didn't recommend that, so I decided not to do it. Although I'm a big believer in technology, but... It seemed like a bit much. As Bill puts his glasses on to read.
Yes, now I have to read all the text
I can
with glasses.
Still see close, and I know it's got people hate it when that starts to happen.
It's awful. You know when you go in for your driver's exam and you look into that machine and there's an E that is sometimes pointing up or down or left or right. I could go all the way to the last one, number 12, and they'd say to me, "We don't know anyone that goes past 10." I could go all the way to the last one,
I have it memorized.
Right? It's down, left, right, left, up, left, right, and they would go, "It's impossible." And then in the last 2 years, that has just fallen apart. I can't read anything.
That's funny
you
brought that up. Before I had the surgery, I had to go get my license renewed, and they made me take the eye test.
Yeah.
So I read the first line, and then he said, they test both eyes.
Yeah.
He said, all right, go. And I was like, oh, my God, I could not see anything.
None of them?
It was totally blank. I mean, to the point where the guy goes, oh, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm going to have surgery next week.
Man, yeah, we have a white cane for you here.
And I just like to say he gave me my license.
Oh, good. Happy ending.
If anybody out there has monovision and really likes it, I'd love to hear from them. Or doesn't like it, I'd love to hear from them.
Yeah.
Eric Zorn at Gmail.
I imagine it's quite an adjustment for you. But It has been.
And I've worn glasses
forever.
For a long, long time. And now suddenly I can't wear them anymore.
So. How about that? Eric Zorn is here. In a little while, we're going to talk about a story that Judy and I have been sitting on all day long. We've been waiting for you, Eric, for this story. It's really funny. Or is it? We'll find out in just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Judy Pylock in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. I know that sounds forceful, Judy, but it says right on the sheet, get on it.
You need to. People need to know that Christmas is not even right around the corner. It's here.
It's Friday. Eric Zorn is here. There's a story that we've been sitting on all day. It's too good to be believed. Eric wanted to talk about it with us, so here it is. It's the big controversy over the bombing of Agrabah.
Bombing of Agrabah. 41% of Donald Trump supporters, a public policy poll found that 41% of Donald Trump supporters favor bombing Agrabah.
So we should just go in and decimate Agrabah.
Well, with all the problems they've been having there.
Ugh.
And the problem with that is that, of course, Agrabah is the fictional kingdom in
Aladdin. It's mythical. It doesn't exist.
It does not exist. 40% of Donald Trump, 41%. Only 13% of Republicans polled were opposed to military action against Agrabah.
The fictitious kingdom of Agrabah.
19% of Democrats said they supported bombing Agrabah.
Is that right?
So it's not just Republicans.
Wait, did Trump, did he support or oppose it? Because that would have been hilarious.
He probably didn't know. Remember that?
Right.
He sold them the Miss Universe package.
I'm sure you talked about that already. What a story.
But, so what does this tell us? This tells us that people's just knee-jerk reaction to something like this, even though it doesn't exist, is to say, yes, something needs to be done. Somebody's asking me a question, so I have to respond angrily. Something needs to be done about Agrabah.
We need to invade Narnia. I think that's I think what it tells you is that these opinion polls, especially when it comes to some of these finer issues, are very unreliable. And the evidence that you get from watching, like, Jay Leno's jaywalking, remember that old segment
where
he used to host The Tonight Show? He would go out on the street and he would ask people, like, how many states are there? And they'd be like, oh, there are 13. I mean, the people would just, when was the Civil War? Well, that was the 1960s, I think. It's just an incredible amount of ignorance out there.
Yeah.
So that when you're asking people about some of these more sophisticated policy questions, like about Obamacare, I mean, one of the fascinating things about Obamacare is that if you ask people if they support Obamacare, you'll get, like, you know, 40% will say yes, they do. But then if you ask them about almost every individual component of Obamacare, ask them specifically, do you favor, you know, people being able to buy insurance even if they have a pre-existing condition? Well, yes, I favor that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that kids should stay on their parents' health care until they're 26? Well, yes, I'm in favor of that. All these various things. So that essentially they support everything, but they hear the term Obamacare and
it reads as negative.
And so what you're seeing with Agrabah is just this idea. And public policy polling does this periodically. They'll just throw in these nonsensical questions and they'll get people to see whether people are kind of paying attention or not. And then so you can, you know, take these polls with a grain of salt when you see what people are actually thinking.
Why is it with Obamacare? You know, when they first drafted it up, it was the Affordable Health Care Act. And then somehow it started being called Obamacare, just a natural conversation.
Oh, I think that was a Republican thing, wasn't it? They
it
started
was.
Referring to it as Obama, like a
to
negative
make it
thing.
Seem
and
negative.
Obama then said, bring it on. I'll call it Obamacare.
That's what I was going to say.
I'll take ownership of that.
Judy's right. That's exactly what happened. The Republicans were derisively calling it Obamacare, and the Democrats were calling it the Affordable Care Act. And then after a while, Obama said, yeah, okay, I'll own it. Obamacare, let's call it that. And so he has referred to it in news conferences that way, too. So.
Now, along the same lines, why is it that most of us refer to the terrorist group ISIS, but whenever Obama talks of ISIS, he says ISIL?
Yeah, I can't
Is there a reason behind that?
There is some strange reason for that, but I don't know what the reason is. I knew it once and have forgotten it. But it always irritates me when he says ISIL, because everybody else says ISIS, and it sounds like he's, like, trying to be better than us or something.
We
like
presidents refer to it as ISIL for the rest of you.
And at first I thought maybe they were trying to cushion it a little bit, like, we're not going to say ISIS because that's what everyone...
Right.
You hear ISIS and that's how you react. Oh, my God, terrorism. But, yeah, so ISIL maybe...
ISIL is like the Islamic State in the Levant or something.
Oh, is that
ISIS
it?
But they both have... the I in it is... It stands for Islamic.
It does.
The first one. So, and then there's another way you refer to them as Daesh or D-A-E-S.
I've heard
oh,
that.
Yeah, right.
And that's considered to be offensive to them.
Right.
So if you call them that, it'll get them even madder than they are now.
Well, and just as a sidebar, I was telling Bill, this is so funny. My son goes to Iowa, and anytime I want to sign on to the website, it's ISIS.
Oh.
And I think to myself every time, because first I'm pinging at every FBI office in America. Secondly, that's why I never use my own computer, only my work computer. It's like, why don't they change that? I mean, they obviously had it first.
There was a story about a month ago about businesses. ISIS didn't used to have a negative connotation.
Right,
there was a kids' television show on Saturday mornings called the Shazam ISIS Hour. But all these businesses that had ISIS in their title have reconsidered in the last couple of months, going, maybe we should call it something else. It's much like, remember years and years ago, there was a chocolate dietary supplement that was AIDS candy. And all of
that.
A sudden they went, oh, this is not the best name for
it
our...
It was spelled A-Y-D-S.
Though, A-Y-D-S, yeah.
Does that still exist, or they just
long
it?
Gone. I know they became
hepatitis.
Something else. Right. Hepatitis Chocolate Candy Company.
Hepatitis H.
I love that story. I've been telling that story all weekend, the bombing of Agrabah. Just,
oh, my goodness.
It's perfect.
It's so depressing.
But it's about the reflexive. Obviously, it sounds Arabic. I don't think it's, you know, Jafar's regime that's getting them exercise. But it's this reflexive feeling about these countries that we identify as Arabic or Muslim countries. Pretty scary to think that we're willing to bomb a country that doesn't exist.
41%.
A lot
That's
of people.
Crazy.
That's a lot of people. We only have a minute here, so let me ask you quickly. Lindsey Graham announced earlier today on his website that he is no longer seeking the nomination. There's not the uproar that some of us might have expected over Lindsey Graham's dismissal, although several people, we had Paul Lisnick on about a week ago saying, this is a guy that actually has some pretty solid ideas, but because he's been at the kids' table, nobody's hearing these ideas. Is that his ultimate
Well, that's partly true, although if you remember, Chris Christie was relegated to the kids' table for one
for
of
a little
the
bit.
Debates, and he seems to have bounced back. He's polling pretty well in New Hampshire
right
now. And
but Lindsey Graham was never at the adults'
Lindsey
table.
Graham
he was
never,
always...
I think he, maybe even the first debate, did he make that?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he ever was.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, the big surprise to me is not that Lindsey Graham's dropped out, but how many of them are still in.
Exactly.
With so little hope. What are some of these
Why
people
Why are they
doing?
Hanging on?
Everybody says after Iowa that that's when it shakes down. Does that seem about accurate?
Yeah, that seems like it's going to be accurate this year, but in previous years, the field winnows much faster than
right
this. There's not, there'll be like five or six candidates at Iowa. They're not going to be
I feel
anybody.
Like they're saying, if Trump is still out there being
right
number one, I still have a chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, so Pataki and or Pataki, how do you say it? Pataki?
Pataki.
You say Pataki, I say Pataki.
Let's call the whole thing off.
And Rand Paul, some of these people who are really pulling way, way down there. This guy Jeb Bush. Is
yeah,
that,
yeah. Heard the name?
Jeb. What happened to Jeb? Trump happened to Jeb. That's what happened.
But you're right, exactly right. The people are waiting to see if Donald Trump is for real. But I think if Trump falls, then it's going to be Cruz or Rubio. Probably Cruz is going to inherit most mm-hmm of his support. So I don't think it's going to go like, hey, you know, now that Donald's out, how about that Lindsey Graham?
Right.
Yeah. No, but so, I'm just saying that people are like looking like, how Trump, who would have thought?
Yep.
So if he has a chance, I have a chance.
Yeah, I took a poll a year ago of readers asking them how many, who thought the leading Republican candidate was going to be as of, you know, the new year, this New Year's of 2016. And Trump wasn't even on the list.
Is that right?
So
it was that obscure
was
back then.
Was,
how about that? Eric, have a great holiday.
Yes, I'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you in the new year, we promise. Well done, Jude.
Thank you.
A quick break, some news, and then we'll find out what's coming up on today's Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilek in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, it's us again. It's Bill Leff and it's Judy Pilek, who has been filling in for Wendy Snyder today. Judy, we're
it's
hoping you'll be back.
By it, the way.
Isn't it exhausting
it was
work?
2 hours. Oh,
this
God,
job.
I could take that nap.
Yes.
So now I'm refreshed again.
This job, I always liken this job to working in a coal mine. It's the same danger factor.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar
and
work conditions.
Yeah, the darkness and the threat of constant threat of cave-in.
You could have a collapse in any of the shafts
yeah
here. It's
someone could go ballistic. I mean,
it's a dangerous
goodness
job. It is a very dangerous mm-hmm job. Just moments ago, you reminded me of something. For people who can't tell, and I guess it's fairly obvious, I'm suffering through a little bit of a cold right now. I got it over the weekend. It was much worse yesterday, but my wife has given me some sort of medication that I think is illegal. I think what
well,
she gave me is illegal.
It's not labeled, which was a little bit concerning,
no
but
label.
Then you were about to pop it in your mouth, and I said, go for it, of
right
course, because it looks like maybe it's from
these are
another country.
It is definitely from another country. It's a drug called, it says it on here somewhere, B-O-I-R-O-N. Oh, I guess that's just Bo Iron. It's Bo Derek's pharmaceutical company. Remember
right
when Bo Derek opened up her own pharmaceutical
yeah
company?
Yeah, and I think that it's perfectly fine to take that, and you shouldn't worry. And, you know, whatever dose it says, take double.
It was because her husband, John Derek, had Upjohn Derek. That was his pharmaceutical company. So she bought this place called Bo Iron. And it's medication that I'm supposed to take. I've never had medicine like this. You're supposed to take it underneath your tongue and just let it dissolve under your tongue. And it's working, so I guess they know what they're doing.
And it does dissolve.
Yeah,
it
dissolves
just, so
in seconds.
I think that means it gets to your bloodstream quickly. I don't know how because it's dissolving. And
wouldn't it be faster to just swallow
no
it?
No, because I know when the last time I was at the ER, I was so nauseous. I just couldn't stand it anymore. And they gave me a pill and said, put it under your tongue. And I did, and it
and you're
minutes
better instantly?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. The reason I bring this up is part of the cold, one of the byproducts of the cold is I have these little sneezing attacks every like once an hour where I'll sneeze four mm-hmm or five times in a row. And you were kind enough to say, and this is what the world has taught us to do when somebody sneezes, you said, bless you.
Right. Oh, but I thought you meant when I said, if I get sick, I'll kill you.
Yeah, you said that. I wasn't going to mention that, but you did said, if I get sick, Bill, you're dead meat.
I did.
And then you said, bless you, which is what you say when somebody sneezes. Mm-hmm. But it's funny in this day and age that people still say that because when you stop and think about it, what's at work there? What will happen? Like if you don't say bless you, will I die of a cold?
But now here's the thing. When you don't say it, isn't there like an elephant in the room? It's like this dead silence.
Why so rude?
Exactly.
Right.
So
Right.
Yeah.
When I went to see Star Wars the other night, my friend Tom sneezed at some point in the movie. I won't give it away because that's a spoiler alert.
And what did you say? Shut up.
Don't, you can't talk during Star Wars. There's no sneezing during Star Wars.
What is wrong with you?
All the stormtroopers on the screen looked around the theater. Who's sneezing during Star Wars? But I said, now keep in mind, I'm not religious at all, not even a little bit.
That's just beyond religious.
But I said, bless you. And then I thought, what? I don't have the ability. I'm not appointed by the Pope to bless people who are sneezing.
I want to know the origin of that, you know?
It's got to be from hundreds of years ago when people were more superstitious.
Does Gesundheit mean bless you too?
In German. It's the same thing.
Okay, so what else is there?
Sometimes I'll have people from Germany text me Gesundheit. Because it's a long way. That's when you know you're sneezing really loud is when people in Dusseldorf go, if you have to do something, he's sneezing all the way in Chicago. Gesundheit. And then a smiley face sideways.
Oh.
Or a sneezing face.
Right,
a smiley, sneezy face sideways. Well, but I feel rude if I don't say it.
Well,
but,
think about it. It used to be God bless you.
Yeah, everything's
so now
shorter now.
We just say bless you.
Right.
And some people just say bless or God bless.
Do people just say bless?
Oh, yeah, bless.
Do you hang out with Red Skelton? He used to say that at the end of the show.
Yes, I do.
May God bless.
He was one of my eight husbands before I realized it was not legal to have eight husbands.
But it has become, if somebody in the room doesn't say it, you look around like, you got to say it. What if this guy dies? Then we're all accomplices to death if this guy dies from cold.
Yeah, that has to have been the origin, that it was some freaky thing like,
hundreds of years ago.
I cannot believe you sneezed, bless you.
But now,
and hopefully you'll live through the night.
Fingers are crossed that you'll live through the night. But now we're all so much more savvy. We know that if we say it or not say it, the person's going to be okay.
Right.
Right?
Now, it's a courtesy thing.
It's a common thing. You have to
what
say
what else can you say?
How about, though, have you ever been in a situation, because I've had this happen a couple times, a perfect stranger yesterday as we were Christmas shopping and I had my little sneezing jag, a stranger at Old Orchard Mall walked up and said it.
I kind of hate that.
Do you hate it?
I mean, I don't hate it. That's a strong word. It kind of bugs me. I'm like, really?
Who are you to bless me? I want my blessings from somebody.
What did you say to me? You see this scar? I got this in prison. Watch it.
That's a Chicago thing. We don't trust somebody.
It's just weird because it's happened to me many, many times. And then, because then what do you have to do? Turn to him and go, thank you.
Right. Thank you, good citizen. Yeah. Yes, you have to. You're required.
And along that same line, I hate those people who, when you say thank you, or if they say thank you and then you don't say you're welcome, it's like, when does it stop?
Right. I write their number down. I call them later at home. I'm the guy who, remember you blessed me at Old Orchard Mall? Just again, reiterating. Thank you. Hold on. Greg knows more about this than we do. Hey, Greg.
Well, hello. How are you guys this afternoon?
Excellent. Thank you for asking.
A little under the weather.
Bless you all.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, I feel better now.
God bless.
All of a sudden.
Good.
What do you know about this, Greg? You know the history?
I don't know if I actually know it, but from what I understand, it's from a medieval thing. Where if one was sneezing, they were considered to be expelling an evil spirit.
Really?
And at that point in time, they were being blessed so that the spirit didn't inhabit them before they had a chance to be blessed.
How about that? Every time I sneeze, it's like an episode of Game of Thrones.
I think the devil came out about a minute ago. He sneezed 15 times.
Well, I'm not going to go. Anyway, if you don't say thank you, then you end up with the spirit. Instead.
You're cursed. How about that? See, Jude, there's a lot behind it.
It's a lot more important than I thought.
That's like the obligatory wave back when somebody lets you in the traffic.
Sure.
It's obligatory.
It's good karma. Well, thank you, Greg. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
All
right. I'm sure Greg just made that up.
It could be, but it sounded more convincing than anything we said.
It's too much. That's a lot of work now.
Right.
Spirits and, oh, my goodness.
Right. You have to know the history of the Middle Ages.
I'm not sneezing again. That's the
easier to not sneeze.
Yeah, I'll hold it in.
All right.
You know what that sounds like.
Nobody wants that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk to ABC News' Karen Travers, who will give us some of the highs and lows of this year's Congress. Stick around. It's Bill Left, along with Judy Pylakin for Wendy on WGN. Well, as it turns out, Congress is done for the year. They're already on break. No more Congress between now and the end of the year. How will we survive? This year has had some definite highs and lows. ABC News' Karen Travers joins us right now to discuss those highs and lows of the congressional year. Hi, Karen. How are things?
Hey, good afternoon. Good thing there's a presidential race to keep everybody occupied for a couple weeks.
I had not heard about that, but there is a presidential race.
There's this little presidential race that's going on. And they'll take some days off for the holidays, but campaigning won't stop entirely, of course.
Thank goodness, because we're going to go through withdrawal without Congress in a
session. Yes.
I mean, because they did pretty much all their business right at the end of the year.
Well, isn't that what they always do? Yes. I mean, it wouldn't be December here in Washington if we all weren't assuming that Congress was going to stick around an extra week or so, that we were going to be all working till 2 in the morning one night covering it, late votes, last-minute deals, 11th-hour deadlines, all of that. But, you know, this time around, we didn't have the drama that we've seen in years past. I mean, there's certainly been some December 23rd still trying to work out agreements, coming back between Christmas and New Year's. Congress is out, and they were able to wrap up that budget deal last week with a last-week compromise, a very large spending bill to fund the government through all of next year, as well as a pretty big package of tax extenders. The president applauded Congress for getting this done, bipartisan support for both of those things. And he said, you know, it caps a decent year of progress on Capitol Hill. And, of course, lawmakers are patting themselves on the back for getting things done. But next year, it's 2016. You know what that means. Everybody's up for re-election in the House, a third of the Senate. Election years are tough years to get anything difficult across the finish line because everybody's focused on that re-election.
And with it being re-election, everybody will work harder and more diligently than ever, won't they, Karen? I'm sure they will.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At fundraising.
Yep. All right, let's go through some of the highs and the lows. You pick. Which do you want to start out with, the high points or the low points?
I think certainly that budget deal is seen as the biggest thing that they got done, and maybe that's because it was the last thing. It's the most recent, fresh thing. But there was also that sweeping overhaul of No Child Left Behind. This is something that the president signed. It's something the White House worked with lawmakers, both parties on this. That was a big deal. A lot of criticism over the years of how No Child Left Behind was working at the state and local level, and this was going to ease some of the federal oversight and involvement. We also got that highway bill after many years of difficulties and many months here over the last year. There's bipartisan agreement for more funding for the nation's roadways and transit projects. It's something that's very important at the local level. Lawmakers love to go back home and say, you see that bridge? I got it fixed.
Yeah.
So I think those are the two big things, or a couple of the big things that I think we'll look back at 2015 and say they got that done.
All right. So those are, I guess, the main positives that we got out of Congress in 2015. Give us some of the negatives. What didn't work?
Well, we can look and say they didn't, once again, have any sort of progress on immigration, you know, despite the calls from the White House to have some new look at gun control after recent shooting massacres. There was no movement on that. If you're a Republican, especially the conservatives, they're frustrated that after months of, you know, banging the gavel about it, that there was no inch forward on Planned Parenthood and defunding Planned Parenthood. And, of course, Republicans continue to try and chip away at the president's health care law, and that also did not move any forward for them.
Isn't it strange, especially with the gun issues that we've had this year? Everybody always says this is the time to do it. It's worse than it's ever been. We've got to do something. But just the gridlock that exists almost prevents anything positive from happening.
And it's almost like a backlash sometimes.
It is almost like a backlash.
When we have these shootings that, you know, it's even harder to get these gun laws passed.
Yeah.
So we had a poll that just came out last week, ABC News, Washington Post poll, that found that the support for not banning assault weapons was the highest it's been in years, that more Americans are opposed to an assault weapons ban. And, you know, some of that might be that psyche of after events like we've seen in Oregon and San Bernardino, that people want to go the opposite direction. You know, they want to be able to have guns, and that's what they're looking for. So, you know, yes, we always say after these incidents, the president comes out and says, I'm not going to politicize this, but I'm going to politicize this, but no movement on Capitol Hill. And it's unlikely that there will be next year, which is why the president says he's going to try and do it something through executive action.
There have been candidates on the Republican side, Karen, that have said that if elected, and when I say candidates, I mean Trump, if I'm elected, the first thing I'm going to do is repeal whatever President Obama has done. What is the reaction to that from Congress? Because they'd have to have a say in at least some of this. Has there been any noticeable reaction from Congress about this?
Not specifically that. You know, of course, Congress has tried to repeal some of the things that the president has put through, but the president has the veto power, and ultimately it stops with him. You know, I thought it was interesting when Paul Ryan said after Donald Trump's recent proposal about Muslims, you know, Paul Ryan, the new speaker, says, I don't normally weigh in on the presidential race. And I think you see a lot of that on Capitol Hill, of not getting involved just yet unless you have endorsed a candidate or if you're particularly close with one candidate. So not a specific legislative game plan from Republican leaders in response to Trump on that.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Paul Ryan, do things feel a little bit different on Capitol Hill with him?
It certainly did. You know, you had a sense that conservatives who had given John Boehner so many headaches were, you know, kind of holding their arrows a bit for the last couple of weeks, that they weren't drawing the lines in the sand that we saw when John Boehner was in charge. Now, that doesn't mean the problems for Paul Ryan have disappeared. It's going to be a tough year for him to try and keep a very fractured Republican caucus together. But you kind of saw a sense of, like, we'll just give him a little bit of a honeymoon period. I thought one conservative, a leading conservative, said, some of these problems aren't Paul Ryan's. He inherited them, so we don't want to make it all blame on him. But, you know, I think next year when they try to get back again into these budget debates and budget battles, he's going to see some of the same resistance that John Boehner did.
And without John Boehner, I'm guessing they're saving a lot of money on tissues and on Visine, wouldn't they be?
Paul Ryan so far has held things together. He's got that, you know, holiday hunting beard that he said, which is right. Not a playoff beard. It had nothing
to do
with
Packers. You call that a beard? Come on. It was like a shadow.
He's working on it.
I mean, maybe back in Wisconsin it doesn't look great, you know, among some of the hipster neighborhoods in D.C.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Karen, thanks so much. Have a great holiday season.
Thanks. You too.
Talk to you next year, Karen.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Well done, Judy. Thanks. It's Karen Travers of ABC News. We're going to take a break. Then we've got some news and a lot more show ahead. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak sitting in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Oh, here is what a great story this is. Listen to this. Oh, by the way, it's us. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy, and we're being joined right now by Ryan Burrow, trusted WGN news person, and as of last night, our new Miss Universe. That was a surprise, Ryan.
Whoops.
Nobody saw that.
You didn't win, actually.
Wait, there's been a terrible mistake.
So close.
The reason for that song, Eye in the Sky,
is... We're switching formats?
We're switching formats. Okay. All Alan Parsons all the time from here on in. It turns out that one of the big Christmas presents this year are drones. And this is a shock, but you were telling us statistics. How many are they going to sell this year?
FAA expects 1 million drones to be under people's Christmas trees.
In the United States alone.
In the United States.
What do those things cost?
Well, they can run anywhere. It depends on what kind you get. There are actually indoor drones that you can use in gymnasiums, or I guess maybe if you're shooting
someone's
a movie
bedroom
or something. Yeah, right. Everyone
yes.
needs a bedroom drone. Sure. But some of the bigger ones, they can range anywhere from you can get a cheap one for a stocking for $20. That one doesn't have a camera in it. You have to find a way to attach the camera. But then some of these are up to $1,200, $1,500 if you want to get a decent one. You know, some of these ones that we see flying around stadiums, legally flying around stadiums, those are kind of the big ones.
All right. Now, we were kidding about the functionality of a drone, but honestly, other than attaching a camera on it and getting a sky view shot of your home, what would the average person do with one of these?
You know, that's a great question, and I think people are going to find that out in the coming months after they unwrap this thing, right? You know, everyone's got this great concept of, you know, we're gonna take it down the river. We're
right.
Gonna, you know, go. I want to see, you know, how many people have pools in my neighborhood once I bring it up to the top, or maybe I can use it for my kid's soccer game or something like that. Interesting ideas. We'll see whether or not that's legit under these new restrictions that the FAA has put out.
Well, what are those restrictions?
Good question. Number one, can't bring it up over 400 feet. Just restrictions. You have to be able to see your drone at all times. So maybe making it go down the river without being able to see it, that probably won't work and might actually hurt the drone.
Yeah.
You crash it into something. You can't fly it over big bodies of people. So, for example, if you and I went out there, we couldn't necessarily just bring it over all of these people who are watching, or, you know, we couldn't go to Soldier Field and put it over Soldier Field, you know, during
right.
a
Bears So maybe
game.
You couldn't record your son's soccer game.
That's a good point. You know, there are places you're not going to be able to do it. And also, kind of interesting, you know, we've seen the no smoking signs.
Yes.
We've seen the no gun signs.
Yes.
When you go into, like, libraries or banks, or the no gun signs. There is now a downloadable PDF no drone sign from the FAA website. So if you've got an area, perhaps, that you don't want a drone to be flying in, You can post a sign. Interesting thing, I did actually, when I was in Berlin over the fall, I saw a family, a newlywed, using a drone. A photographer was using a drone to shoot their wedding party.
Really?
They were
okay,
all
now
dancing
that'd be cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Who would have video like that except for you?
Unless it becomes obstructive. You know how, what was it, 6 or 8 months ago, you started seeing no selfie sticks at museums and stuff like that. So if it's getting in people's way, and they sure would have the potential to get in people's way, for people who have not seen them, they vary in size. The household ones you were talking about are less than a foot in diameter,
exactly.
But then they can get fairly big, can't they? They
sure.
can get pretty big.
Absolutely. I mean, some of these are essentially mini helicopters, you know, with cameras attached to them. But you bring up a good point. There are some other reasons that are places you cannot use them. You cannot disrupt an emergency response. So, for example, we in the news business may pull up onto a scene and we're being pushed back. You know, a couple blocks while emergency workers work, we can't just drop one in there. And they don't want other people doing that either. In fact, there was a case in Pennsylvania, I believe, just a couple months ago of a homeowner who there was a house fire nearby, and he decided he was just going to bring his drone over. And all the firefighters didn't like that too much, and they actually sprayed it with a hose.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they
well, what didn't. Was his goal in that? Was to get a better look at what was going
because
on?
Because he has a drone, and he wants to use it. And what else? That's so, to me, in its infancy as far as what you really want to
right.
do or can do with it.
Right.
Plus, I just see so many lawsuits. Whoa. In the future
oh, yeah.
from this, right? Oh, there was a drone here, and I was at this game, and I don't want to be on, you know, video
right.
or sure. a picture.
And a question, too. I mean, we're in the Allstate studio right now. Maybe insurance companies could use them in a situation like that to maybe get a better view, perhaps. That's one use of it. But I think people, as we kind of go through this process, are going to find out how
I just picture myself walking down the street and having a drone follow me.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, Jude. Judy lives in the future.
Orion
Samuelson, by the way, wants to chime in a little bit. Orion, can you hear us? Oh, he's
I
on the phone.
Can hear you.
Hi, Orion. What do you know about this?
Well, the drone is a valuable tool for agriculture because you're able to fly it over fields, see where you've got insect problems, see where you've got weed problems or drought problems.
Yeah.
If you're a rancher, they can take the place of a cowboy on horseback looking for cattle that may be lost on the ranch. And there really are a lot of uses agriculturally for the drone. So my concern is that people don't follow the rules. And if that continues to happen, they could take it away from everybody. And that would be unfortunate because it is a useful tool.
I never thought of any of those things.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, all of those sounded legit. That's... Orion, is this a fairly new, it would have to be a fairly new concept in the world of agriculture. Is this, are we talking about the last year or maybe two, or have they had them longer than that?
I'd say we're talking 3 or 4 years because immediately when they started coming out with them, farmers said, hey, that would be a valuable tool for me. And the other area that has been growing for drone use is real estate. One of our cameramen on our TV show has a drone, and he uses it for getting harvest shots out in the field. But he's also using it for realtors who say, can you get an aerial view of this house that I'm putting on the market? So,
interesting. All right.
Yeah, there are commercial uses for it, and I'm just hoping that there aren't enough violators of the rules that we could lose the use of it. So
use your drones for good and not evil. That's the message we're spreading.
Yes, that's right.
And it's important to point out the commercial use and the commercial registration for these drones will begin next year. What begins today is the personal use of the drones.
All right.
So this is this is guy going into his backyard or going out to the park and toying around with it.
I get that.
Where do you get a drone?
Oh, well, I can tell you that Ace Hardware had one of them for $50 on Black Friday.
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably one of the cheaper end ones, and if you can probably build up, I'm sure there are plenty of listeners.
I would imagine. Orion, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
Take care.
Always the voice of reason.
Another big concern, though, is, I mean, we've got a couple big airports, and we've got a couple smaller airports, and one of the restrictions is airspace around those airports. There is a 5-mile radius where you cannot fly these. So if you're in Bensonville, if you're in Elk Grove, you know, you got to kind of watch where you're at so you're not, you know, interfering in O'Hare's airspace.
All right, so you had mentioned earlier that the limit that they legally want you to fly one at is 400 feet, right?
Correct.
All right, so that would only come into issue that close to an airport. There's no aircraft that flies anywhere near that low.
You hope not.
But if you're near an airport, then that does become a factor because with the landings and the takeoffs, that could present a problem or two.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, anything that goes on weird or strange around an airport is always a big concern. So
there's a couple people that want to check in. Let's go to Jim first. Jim, hi, you're on WGN. What do you know about the drone situation?
Hi there, Bill and Wendy. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There should be a distinction made. Is that this regulation also includes people who fly RC airplanes. They have to register as well.
I knew that. Yeah. These are, for people who don't know, those are the radio-controlled airplanes that have been around for a long time. Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a lot of people who fly those, you know, and they're pretty expensive beasts in some cases, especially the jets.
Yep. No doubt about
it. They've got some great airports for those, by the way.
And do they?
Great model airports. Yeah, there's one in Deer Grove. There's one in Bussy Woods, I know. They've got full landing strips, and those guys are out there every weekend. It's pretty cool.
There's a good one down in Palos, too, off of, I think, 107th LaGrange Road.
So some of the same restrictions that we've seen in the past, as you were saying, for the radio-controlled aircraft, they would have to apply to drones. Although with all this happening so fast, I have to think that they're acting quick to figure out exactly what the rules should be. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, there aren't 1 million of these radio aircraft being sold, but it's 1 million of these drones.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, I don't think you can. I guess you could put cameras on those things, right? You could put.
Can you, Jim? Do you know?
Yeah.
People have put cameras in airplanes like this for a long time, too.
Yeah.
But it's a lot harder with an airplane because it's continually flying. The people who fly RC helicopters put cameras in those, too, and those can be like a drone. But they're just a lot noisier because they usually have gasoline engines.
Oh, right. So you would hear them coming. The drone is almost virtually silent.
Yeah.
Very
scary. A little bit of a buzzing, but
just it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right. Well, thank you, Jim. Have a great holiday.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Have you guys seen the commercial with the drone delivering the package?
Yes.
They're either doing it or they put in an application to do it.
Amazon wanted to test those out and use those. I don't know to what extent they're being used right now. Maybe they're just being tested. Maybe they're in certain locales. I'm not exactly sure.
But see, that to me is a good idea. Or even, you know, what about delivering pizzas?
That's genius.
Right?
Well,
except
for we start following the pizza, try to beat wherever it's going to land.
Exactly.
Right? You got 30 seconds to get out there before I catch
your
pizza.
We could call it fast food.
I've seen one being used actually the fireworks in Lake Zurich. There were two drones up in the sky. People were taking images of the fireworks that were.
Really?
And of course, let's not forget who's been using drones for quite a while now. Police department.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sure. I was boating in Chain of Lakes in that big area where everyone boats and parties and God knows what goes on there.
Mm-hmm. These
I wasn't
kids.
Doing any of that.
No laws.
But a drone was zipping around.
Really?
Yeah, we're all like, oh,
great
the drone.
In, great in hostage situations, too, where you're trying to figure out
some...
the layout of a building, what's going on. Maybe you can see windows or some soft points that you can go in. So, yeah.
But it's still kind of at the novelty phase for most people. But then, as you pointed out, they anticipate selling 1 million of them within a year. That's the jump that shocks me. I never would have guessed a number anywhere near that high.
Think about this. When we see the Paris Hiltons or the Kim Kardashians walking and you see this swarm of
paparazzi.
Paparazzi. There we go.
Or Pavarotti. Sometimes.
Could you imagine just a slew of drones following
I'm envisioning in my head. That's
eventually, it's just the Kim Kardashian drone, I guess, that we'd be following around.
She'll have her own.
I have to tell you, there's one on, you can look it up on YouTube, of a drone flyer who brought his drone out to the end of a pier where all these men were fishing and they were getting tired because there is a little bit of a buzz noise.
Yeah.
One of them turned around. He hooked that thing.
Did he?
Yeah, he got it. He nailed it. The thing tried to pull away. It was
that's
like,
funny.
A little like bit of butter sauce. That's some good eating, those drones.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, thank you. We appreciate that.
No problem.
That's Ryan Burrow from WGN's news department. Yes?
And you can register that starting today, although I just checked, not available quite yet.
What's the licensing? Is there a licensing fee a set fee?
It's free right now. You have to pay $5, but you get that money refunded. After January 20th, it's going to be $5.
Okay.
And
right.
It's good for 3 years. I was thinking about registering one, even though I don't have a drone. No,
just to save
the
money.
Yeah, maybe there's a cool drone bar I can go to.
There is. There's plenty of them. A quick break.
Ryan just drones on and on.
Doesn't he? Well, what's with that? Quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilek and 40 Snyder on WGN.
Three.
Judy, it's the dark circles that people want to get rid of. I knew somebody, my friend of mine, his circles were so dark, the White Sox were using it as an on-deck circle before they would bat.
You know what? When we first started using it here at the station, I have to say, I won't say names, but several people, I was shocked when they started using it.
That's a difference.
Yeah, I don't have bats.
You don't need it. I don't need it. Something like this does not apply to you. No. Since we're talking about new laws and legalities, listen to this. This is a story out of Gary, Indiana, which is right over there. I'm pointing at Gary, Indiana.
It's so close.
It's right over there.
Yeah, it's right there. There it is.
People go there. This is a good holiday retreat, is Gary, Indiana. Wearing pants low enough to expose someone's underwear could soon be against the law in Gary, Indiana. The Times of Northwest Indiana reports that the Gary Youth Council, you know, the GYC, whose members are teens, plan to ask the city council to endorse an ordinance requiring community service for those 18 years and under who wear sagging pants in public. Now, you've seen this before, right? A lot of people will wear their pants.
So ridiculous. But you can't tell people what to wear.
It really, it's the strangest thing. Every once in a while, I would see somebody whose pants had that kind of a look. And then a couple times when my girls were still in high school, I would have to go to school to drop something off. And I'd say a third of the kids were wearing pants like that.
Yeah.
I started a little belt concession right there in the parking lot. I made a lot of money, Judy.
Did you?
Yeah,
really?
A lot of money.
Did you make any?
No, didn't sell a single belt. The Gary City Council could take up the proposal as soon as February. Council Vice President Ron Brewer said that the ordinance could also apply to adults who would be assessed fines for violations. I don't see that many adults wearing the pants that way.
No.
Mostly
no.
The kids.
Which is funny, because they were belts, because I could see the pants falling off. Right. As you get older, your pants
You don't want your pants to fall off.
Yeah.
Or suspenders. I know those are very popular still.
Yeah, that'll work.
The nearby city of Linwood, Illinois, has had a similar ban in place since 2008. Has the baggy pants trend been going on that long?
Yeah, and you know what? How do they have a ban? It's totally against your right to wear what you want. They're not naked.
They're not naked, but, B-U-T, a lot of times, if worn that way, there's a little more exposed than the community norms would allow.
But B-U-T-T.
B-U-T-T.
Right. All right. Well, no, you should just see their underwear.
You see their underpants.
Yeah, their underwear or their, what do they call them? Not really underwear, but boxers.
The boxers.
Yeah.
Right. So does Collinsville, Illinois, near St. Louis, they also, though the city's police chief said that after the 2011 law was passed that he would not enforce the ban. You got to admire a police chief who says, I know we've just put this into law, but I'm the police chief and I'm not going to do anything about it.
I'm going to break that law right now.
We need him to replace McCarthy exactly. Here in Chicago, a guy who goes, laws are laws.
Well, I'll do what I want.
I'm not wasting my time. There's other things going on in Gary, Indiana. You would think that the city would just go, look, the pants are a problem, but they're not that big of a problem.
And what do they do when they pull you over? Pick up your pants.
Right.
Who do you think you are?
I'm trying to think what would be the equivalent when you and I went to school back in the early 1930s. Was there something like this?
Yeah,
that was
It was pull your pants down a little bit because they're up way too high.
Right. The dorky kids wore them up very, very high.
Yeah. Oh, I love when I see that now. Yeah, so no, we didn't have.
Nobody wore low rider pants, did they?
Well, you know, we had hip huggers. Yeah.
Remind me what the hip hugger is.
Low. They were the kind that if I wore them now, my belly would hang right over them. But before, it looked good.
But you couldn't see any crease or separation. I'm trying to be as politically correct as I could be.
Maybe we should have had a law about the tops we wore, which were those halter tops.
That would be better. Mm-hmm. The spaghetti straps.
Yeah. And we showed a lot of stomach.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Now they're showing a lot of back. But
yes.
No stomach.
I know. These kids. What are we going to do, Jude? What are we going to do?
What are they thinking wearing those pants alone?
I don't know.
No one even does it anymore. Gary, get with the times.
Come on.
You know, a couple
That's
years
an old
ago.
Trend.
Exactly.
I don't get it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got some news and then a little holiday favorite for you coming up after the news. So stick around. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilek in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Judy Pilek is filling in for Wendy Snyder. Judy, would you agree with me that this song, Bing Crosby, or Der Bingle as he is known throughout Germany, This is what Christmas music should sound like.
This is a fabulous Christmas song.
You hear this song and you say to yourself, "It's Chris. I hear Bing singing. This is what Christmas is right now."
Now I'm in the mood.
Yep. But sadly, there are some Christmas songs that don't fare quite as well. We're at 312-981-7200. This segment is spawned by an incident that happened in Austria. Listen to this. A radio DJ in Austria went rogue in a bid to get his listeners into the Christmas spirit by locking himself into the studio so that he could play a trusted holiday classic on repeat. Joe Kohlheffer played Wham's 1984 hit Last Christmas nonstop for nearly 2 hours. He played the catchy tune, which is sung by George Michael and Andrew Ridgely, who, by the way, I always say is the brains behind Wham, never got the credit that George Michael got. He played it 24 times during his breakfast show for the Antenna Carithia station as his co-host, Patricia Jordan, watched helplessly through the glass partition. Now, I use this as an example of one of those songs that some people tend to like very much and some people tend not to like very much. Let's talk to Johnny, who's on line two. Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Hi, Bill and Judy. Merry Christmas.
And
happy
to you.
Holidays.
And to you. Now, Johnny, we just mentioned this song, Last Christmas, by Wham!, you don't take to it quite as fondly as this DJ in Austria, do you?
You know what, Bill, I just want to ask you, and Judy, listen to the first lines of the song as I speak them to you. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Mm-hmm. The very next day, you gave it away. Mm. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Yep.
My wife rolls her eyes every time this song comes. I roll my eyes. My wife cracks up every time this song comes on. And but you know, I'm take the words, and you're saying, okay, I'll pretty much give my heart to anybody. And you know, you blew it. So this next year, I'll give it to someone special.
But you have to understand, Johnny, George Michael and Andrew Ridgely, who are commonly known as the quintessential poets of our generation, they wouldn't have written those words if they didn't hold some true meaning, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
It just rhymed.
Let's play a little bit of it. You won't throw up while we play it, will you? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. We won't play a lot. Just a little.
Go on.
Here it comes. Just a little. I like the moaning in the background from George Michael.
My wife is cracking up.
No, don't panic. It's right. Here it comes.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Mm. But the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
So, Johnny, I guess the question is, if he had waited more than just the one day, let's say his character had waited a week or two or three, and then gave his heart to somebody special, would you have been okay with it then?
No.
Still not?
Yeah, well, he's pretty fly by night there, isn't he?
And how did she or he give the heart away? You can't give someone else's
heart away. But it's all ethereal. He gave it to he fell in love with somebody
else.
Yeah,
I get it.
You know, that happens. Sadly.
All right, well, Bill, you're torturing me.
I'm sorry. No more of it. I promise.
I'm going to pick through every line of that song.
Johnny, thanks. Have a great holiday.
You guys have
Merry,
a good
Merry.
Do you want us to send you a copy of that? A DVD copy?
No, or should we just play it for 2 hours?
No,
because we can do that.
No? All right.
No,
you had your chance. All right. Thanks, Johnny. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. What are some of the songs that drive you absolutely crazy? Or is there a Christmas song or songs that every time you hear it, you just cringe and you wish it weren't the holiday season? Let's talk to Noel. Noel, that's you, right? I get you?
Yeah.
Noel, I'm sorry.
Really, Noel?
Noel, I'm sorry.
Are you the first Noel?
No, and I hear that all the time.
Ah, Judy, you owe Noel an apology. Is there a song that just makes you, a holiday song that you hear it and you just go, I'm not feeling well?
Well, Judy just said it. It would be the first Noel. Let me rip out my hair right now.
Oh, and it's all
Noel.
Because of your name, right?
Noel.
Yeah, I hear that more in July than I do in December.
Oh. So is your name Noel because you were born relatively close to now? Is that why?
A couple weeks before, and my mother was a big fan of Andy Williams.
Oh yeah.
He had a daughter born right before I did, and he named her Noel.
A friend of my mom's named her daughter, first name Miriam, middle name Noel. So that's the French equivalent of Merry Christmas, Miriam Noel. You can't get more Christmassy than that.
She's Chris more than I am.
Yes. And she goes into hiding this time of year. You can't find her.
It's terrible. And having to explain your name on the telephone to somebody and how to spell it because my spelling is different, it's just a nightmare.
Oh, no. I'm sorry you're going through that.
Parents shouldn't do that to children.
No, it's cruel. It's awful. Well, thanks, Noel. I hope that it somehow gets better. Here's a little bit of it for you.
Oh, great.
No? All right. We shouldn't be playing it. I'm sorry. All right. Thanks, Noel. Have a great holiday.
You too.
All right. Bye. That's always been a thing. If you have a name that is been immortalized in song of any kind, you have a couple of those songs. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes,
yes,
kind of applies to
hey
you.
Hey Jude, sort
hey
of.
Hey Jude, a little bit. Yeah.
Judy, what's that song?
That's just a line that people always say. Cary Grant said, but he never did.
He didn't say it, but I think Gomer Pyle said it.
I had Billy Don't Be a Hero. I had My Girl Bill. Remember the song My Girl Bill from Jim Stafford? I Want to Marry You, Bill. There were a bunch of them, all at the same time, too.
Yeah, those are kind of around the same
time. They were all within a couple year period. Ralph has a song for us as well. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Hey, guys, Merry Christmas. You know, every time I hear Bing Crosby, I cringe and I turn him off because I've read several books where he used to beat his kids, and I think four of his boys committed suicide. And in the books, it says the kids used to go to Frank Sinatra's house to get away from Bing Crosby.
Bing was, I don't know about his kids killing themselves. I don't know that that happened, but Bing has been well documented as being not the most polite dad. The first time around, he had a second family later on, and he was a much nicer man. But early on, Bing's relationship with the kids was not exactly
perfect. So he left his first family and made another family?
He married a woman named Catherine Grant or Catherine Grayson. I can't remember her name. And then had a second family. But the first ones, Bob and Dennis, there was a bunch of the boys that just their relationship with Bing was not good at all. All right, so that tainted you forever, huh, Ralph? Ba-ba-boo. All right, take care. This is a terrible story, but I'll tell it anyway. There used to be a radio show. Before Carl Amari had a show that paid tribute to classic radio, there was a show on another channel, and they used to do the same thing Monday through Friday. They would play old radio shows from the 1940s. So on this particular episode of a show called Quiz Kids Challenge, Bing Crosby was the celebrity guest. The way Quiz Kids Challenge would work was you had a bunch of kids answering trivia questions against a bunch of adults, and the kids would always win because they were brainiac kids. But every once in a while, they'd bring on a celebrity guest host, and this particular episode was Bing Crosby. So after a couple of minutes of the kids knowing the answers to every single question, they were just amazing. They just got everything right. The host said to Bing Crosby, and I remember this like it was yesterday. I heard this years ago, but I still remember it. The host said to Bing Crosby, "Bing, when you hear kids like this, what does it make you think?" And he goes, "It makes me want to go home and beat up my own kids." And it got a huge laugh. Everybody in the audience went nuts. That's hysterical. Bing Crosby said that about his kids. It turned out, though, it was true. Bing was going home and beating up his kids.
And just saying it like it was nothing. getting a big laugh.
Oh, how weird. All right, there's a lot of people who have these songs, these Christmas songs that they just don't want to hear anymore. We're at 312-981-7200. If you'd like to jump in, you can call us or text us. And we have a couple of our own, the Christmas songs that should not be played anymore. It's Bill F.
But that will play.
That will still play, just to prove our point. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy Spiner on WGN. Judy, Marianne from Skokie says, "Holly Jolly Christmas should be declared illegal and punishable by torture." That's the song you're hearing right now. It's Burl Ives.
Does she not like it?
I don't think she likes it, Jude. I might be reading too much into it, but I don't think she likes it.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Isn't it funny that you could go 11 months out of the year and not hear a single Burl Ives song anywhere you go, and then the month of Christmas, a lot of Burl Ives. A lot of Burl Ives. A couple more texts and then a whole bunch of phone calls from people who are just flat out tired of certain Christmas songs, Christmas carols. Baby, it's cold outside. This is according to Dave. Baby, it's cold outside. The guy singing is Bill Cosby-esque. It really, if you study the lyrics, well, there's several different versions of Baby, It's Cold Outside. I know Dean Martin does a version of it. There's a version now that is done by Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga that you can see on TV.
Yeah.
But it's been covered by 1,000 people.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of that song.
But it really is it's a man forcing a woman to stay inside,
right.
and who knows what'll happen just under the guise that it's too cold
well,
to go outside.
Exactly what's
we know what's
going
to happen, Jude. We mm-hmm. know what's going to happen. Here's an interesting comment from Jeff, but I don't think I can read it on the air. Should I tell you what it is and
yes,
not do it on the air?
Do.
All right. Everybody stop listening for a moment. Judy, this is just for you. Jeff says, chestnuts roasting on an open fire can very easily be changed to Jeff's nuts roasting on an open fire. It makes me dizzy. I can't read that on the air, can I? I won't.
No,
all right, everybody, you can start listening again.
With me.
All right, there's a lot of calls at 312-981-7200. Let's take them in some sort of order. Hey, Dave?
Hey.
What's
hey,
up?
Dave.
Is there a song that just you just don't want to hear it anymore at Christmas?
Bum, tell us.
Yeah, picture this. Standing in an orchestra pit
yep.
throughout high school, being the delegated one playing the bass drum, and behind you hearing and having to play the little drummer boy.
Ah.
Figure, bass drum. So you're going, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
An unpleasant memory, is it, I would imagine?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, right.
So every time you hear it, you're all of a sudden transported magically back to those days, aren't you?
Back to high school, standing in an orchestra pit with my head above the stage. Going boom.
Oh, no. That's terrible. All right. Thanks, Dave. We're playing it now, but we will not play it for the rest of the show.
Have a great holiday.
All right. Take care. Bye. Now, this is the Vienna Boys Choir version of it, and it's actually pretty good. But the version of it that I always think of when I think of the little drummer boy is young Richie Petrie singing it on the Christmas episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show. Do you remember that at all?
I must have missed that.
If you can find it, Kevin, play it. I will warn you right now, if you're a fan of things being in pitch, like things being sung the way that they were intended, you will not like Richie Petrie's version of Little Drummer Boy. And yet every time I hear it, for some reason, as awful as it is, it makes me happy. I don't know why.
Because it was a good show.
I guess so. All right, let's talk to Annie. She's got one for us. Annie, is there a song, a Christmas carol, that for one reason or another you just don't enjoy? Annie?
Yeah, is that me?
Yeah, that's you. Is your name Annie?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know you were talking to me. Yes. Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time makes my skin crawl. They play it in every store, and I often will just leave my cart in the middle of an aisle. And
oh, my God.
I hate it so
much. That's serious.
All right. I don't really like Paul McCartney, but you hate him.
You just walk right out of the store?
I love Paul McCartney. I hate his song.
Do you, like, put your fist up at the speakers?
50 million times, and then the ding dong, ding dong. What's up with that?
Now, can I recommend something to you, Annie? There's a couple different versions of the song. One of them is done by a band called Jars of Clay, and it's a really, really good version of it. And then the Shins have a version of it that came out about a year ago. Even though Paul McCartney's version might rub you the wrong way, you might like one of their versions.
Well, I don't know. It's a pretty bad song.
You hate
though.
The song.
Yeah,
everything
I think
connected with it.
She's done. She's done with the song.
And I almost didn't call because I was afraid you're going to play it.
No, we would never do that.
Oh, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
I do love you guys.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Annie.
Well,
have
wait,
a great holiday.
Are you in your car? Because maybe we will play it if
no,
you
No, we
it
wouldn't
out.
Do that.
I am in my car, but then I'd have to turn your show off.
No, all don't do that.
All right, we won't play
we
it.
We will not play
it. I don't like it either.
Thank
all right.
You.
Take care. Bye, Annie.
Wow.
That was on your list of songs because
yes,
you and
was.
I each came up with ones mm-hmm. that we don't like, and that was high up on
yeah.
your list. Let's go to another call. Boy, these are all over the place. Some of these are I'm shocked to learn that people don't like. Hey, Michael, what's the song? Is there a Christmas song that you're just sick of? You never want to hear it again?
Well, yeah, I, and I do have two quick questions about that Austrian DJ. But you
sure.
know, I'm a big Tom Petty fan. But that song, "It's Christmas All Over Again."
Now I like that a lot. Why don't you like that song?
I don't know. I guess relative to all his other music, it just feels like I'm playing this all over again. You know.
Will you be upset if I convince Kevin to play just a couple of seconds for people who haven't heard it? Will you not pass out or have a conniption, as my mom used to say?
I'll try to.
All right, try to behave yourself. Kevin, can we get just a little bit of that Tom Petty song? Just a little? All right, Kevin is going against his better judgment. Here's a little bit of Tom Petty singing the Christmas song that Michael hates. Listen. Listen to the energy. I love the energy. Now, he does kind of moan this song. For people who have never heard it, he does kind of moan it more than sing it. Listen. in.
He doesn't sound very happy.
I think he had to fill an obligation to get one more song on the album, and it was this. This does nothing for you at all, Michael? Doesn't make you happy in any way, shape, or form?
No.
No.
No, and I love Tom Petty.
Just not that song.
Not that song.
How about that?
You know, it's kind of a dumb song.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I love Tom Petty, though.
I guess I'm wrong on this one. All right, thank you, Michael. We will not play it again for the rest of the show.
Sure. Hey, what happened to the disc jockey? Did they fire him, or?
Let me see what it says happened to him. No, you know, it was just a publicity stunt. I'm reading through the story very quickly. They did not fire him. He just wanted everybody to be more of a Christmas spirit there in Austria, so he played the Wham song Last Christmas for 2 hours straight.
And apparently he was unaware that people could turn it off,
right?
Which they all did.
Right, they all, everyone
he's
did.
He's the only one who had to listen to it for 2 hours, the yeah. moron.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
Oh. Amazing. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Have a great holiday.
You too. Happy holidays.
All right. Take care.
See you next year.
Let's do this. We got a ton of texts and a lot of people on hold, 312-981-7200. We will play the Christmas song that you hate, but we'll just do a little snippet of it just to show people how right you are. What is the one holiday song you just cannot stomach? 312-981-7200. We'll get you the news, and then we'll get back to the music that you love to hate next. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak in for Wendy on WGN. This is Richie Petry from the Dick Van Dyke Show trying to sing The Little Drummer Boy.
He's got a drum, but he's not using it at all.
He is not using the drum. Or his larynx.
Or his voice.
Right.
He's using his bad voice. Use your inside voice, not your outside voice.
I think they wrote him out of the show after this episode. I never saw him again in the Petry household after he tried to sing the song.
What happened to Richie? He's gone.
Gone. He's like Richie Cunningham's brother on Happy Days. Just
but
went upstairs.
Weren't his
never
parents
came
in the audience during the show crying?
No, his parents were. It was an Ellen Brady Christmas special, so everybody was participating. Everybody was.
Okay.
Because they sang the song "We All Are Fine Musicians" on that same episode, the Christmas episode.
Oh, you know too much.
Way too much
useless information.
Lots of calls, lots of texts, Judy. People have a Christmas song that just they detest. 312-981-7200. Now this one, I'll read you the text, then we'll discuss it a little bit. This is from 815. Dominic the Christmas Donkey makes everyone in my office cringe. Do you know this song at all?
No.
Have you ever heard this?
Kevin, I remember that title, too, I think.
Dominic, the Italian Christmas Donkey is the song's title. Here's a little bit of it, just enough to make you ill. Listen to this.
Hey, jingity-jing.
Jingity-jing.
It's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing. The Italian Christmas Donkey. La, 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 la.
Stop playing it.
Yeah, have you heard enough of Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey? The only reason I like it is, you know, I'm a huge fan of music, and I've heard in my lifetime over 100,000 different songs. It's the only song to really use the words jingity jing.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but the caption on YouTube is just cool song.
Is that right? That's
so
all
it
says?
Be, yeah.
That's it, huh? All right, let's get some calls. Oh, I do want to take issue to this text. This is from the 219 area code. I should give the whole phone number out. I'm so upset about this text.
219-628-30.
No,
that.
All right. It's I hate, and hate is written in letters that I don't know how she typed letters this big, because usually when you text,
it's like
you have,
over 72 font.
Yeah, yeah. They're gigantic letters. I hate giant letters. H-A-T-E. I hate Susie Snowflake. What? You can't hate Susie Snowflake. Mm. That's un-American.
Really?
Do we have a little bit, Kevin? Yeah, here it is. Now this isn't the version I know. This is a different version.
Look who's coming! Here comes Susie Snowflake dressed in a snow white.
This is the same song that they sang on GN's television show, but a slightly different version.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic, but as far as songs go, come on.
There's been better songs.
It's hateable.
Would you like it more if instead of "We Look Who's Coming," they opened up with "Jingity Jing"?
Yes, I think it'd be much cooler.
Jingity Jing.
Jingity Jing. It's Susie Snowflake.
It's Susie the Italian Snowflake.
All those words are kind of sickening. Jingity Jing. Susie Snowflake.
Right. A little saccharine. All right, let's get Betsy's thoughts in. Hey, Betsy, how are you?
good. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm in my car.
I can hear you. Well, there's a speaking device. I can hear you. You're fine. What song is it? What holiday song do you just detest?
Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. I hear it all the time.
Now, before it was oversaturated, when you only heard it every once in a while, did you have a little bit more fondness for it then, or have you always hated it?
I don't think I heard it every once in a while. All of a sudden, it was just on all the time. I think it's contractual on an FM radio station that they play it every 2 hours. Unbelievable.
Can I tell you, of all the texts, and we've gotten a bunch of texts in the last few minutes, that song, the Mariah Carey song, here's one, that stupid Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, I Can't Take It Anymore. Here's one, even though she has an amazing set of lungs, I hate the Mariah Carey song. Play anything you want, but not the Mariah Carey song. A lot of people do not like that song, Betsy. It's not just you.
Good, good. But you know what? It wouldn't have been bad probably if it was every once in a while, but I think somehow she must have had a somehow managed to get the radio station to agree to play it every 2 hours. I had to turn the FM radio station off because I can't take it.
It's that
but
bad.
Can I tell you one song that you never hear that I think is really nice?
What?
It's Harry Connick Jr., Must Be All Santa Claus. I never hear that, and it is such a great song. If you want to do housework, put that song on. It gets you moving.
I got it.
Kevin
right
has it ready
here
to play for you. Listen to this, Betsy. Oh, that's not the right song, Kevin.
No.
Oh, Kevin's evil. Why would he do that
Wait,
to you?
Wait, she's not done. Hold on.
Jingity jing.
It's a Connick song. That's so great.
I know. All right, we'll find the Harry Connick song for you, Betsy. I promise.
Okay. I just All right. Want other people to hear it. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a good holiday.
Bye.
Jingity-jing.
Say, do me a favor. At some point today when you have a transaction with somebody, just say jingity-jing and see
jingity-jing,
what kind of...
Jingity-jing, is
jingity-jing.
It? Jingity-jing.
The Italian Christmas donkey.
And I'm going to go like this.
Jingity-jing. Yeah, do that. See what kind of sort of reaction you get. Gretchen has one for us. Gretchen, is there a holiday song that you just... It makes your skin crawl. What is it?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
All versions of it?
Yes, any version, any singer, doesn't matter. I hate the word.
There are so many versions. That's the problem,
Everybody
too.
Sings it. Now, I was saying earlier, if you stop and analyze the lyrics, it really is a man kind of tricking a woman into spending the night with him.
It is. It's terrible. It's so terrible. I don't know why they still play it.
I don't either. I have no idea. All right. Thanks a lot, Gretchen. Have a good
Thank
holiday.
You.
Don't you think? Oh, she was going to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I think.
Happy. We'll see you next year, Gretchen.
You're still pulling that out. Don't you think it's one that... The lyrics kind of float through you. You're not stopping and thinking about what
right.
exactly is happening in that song. But it is a guy convincing a woman, you got to sleep with me. You
right.
can't go outside.
Yeah,
you'll catch your death of
cold. Yeah.
Stay in here where it's safe. Wink, 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 jingity jing.
Where things are a lot hotter.
A lot harder.
Yeah.
Here's one from 630. Now, this song, I don't think gets played a lot because it's so awfully depressing. The song Christmas Shoes. Have you ever heard that song, Christmas Shoes?
I don't know.
Boy, is that sad. Kevin is actually talking to people on the phone right now, so I don't know if I can get him. Kevin, if you can, find Christmas Shoes, but don't play a lot of it.
Because it's too sad and people will just start.
People will go to the nearest bridge. It's terrible. It's so sad.
Just what you need for Christmas.
You don't need that. Yeah, I hope not. I hope nobody needs that. Los Lobos is... Giggity Giggity Gig? What is that? Is that a song? Is that the sequel to Jingity Jing?
Jingity Jing, Giggity Gig. It's off to Grandma's off we go.
This is when lyricists just went, just put down any letters in any order. We don't care anymore.
It's got to start with a Something J.
Kevin has a little bit of Christmas Shoes. Try to hear this and not just fall down. In the Christmas moon, standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously. Judy, don't cry. And in his hands he held a pair of shoes. This is the song they play at Payless.
Yeah.
If you go to Payless, they play this.
Buy a pair.
Buy a pair and we'll stop playing this song. They force you. For every 10 pairs of shoes, we won't play. It's not grow a pair, it's buy a pair at Payless. It's their Christmas holiday special.
But to work here, grow a pair. Buy a pair.
All right, Kevin, don't play anymore. People are sad. All right, we've got a couple more of these. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200. Judy hasn't told you her choices yet, except for the Paul McCartney song.
Yeah, that pretty much.
I haven't given you my choices yet, but what are yours? 312-981-7200. You tell us the Christmas song you're tired of hearing. We'll play a little bit of it, and then we'll stop and not play it again for the rest of the show. That's not saying a lot.
Well,
really,
are you
going
to promise that nobody plays it for the rest of the
I can't make
season?
That promise. Oh, I cannot
I'm going to make it.
I wish I could make that promise. All right, a quick break and then more awful Christmas music ahead. It's Bill Leff along with Judy Pilak in for Wendy at WGN.
No dinky tinker toy. I want the hippopotamus to play with and enjoy.
We're talking about the Christmas songs you hate the most. What holiday song just makes your skin crawl? This is I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Done by the Three Tenors. This is the Three Stooges actually singing this.
You know, because you never hear it, so it doesn't bother me that much.
Right.
I think a lot of it is the repetitive
That's
songs
what
that
it
are
is.
Over and over, and you're just...
Right. That's exactly what it is. All right. Your calls, your texts at 312-981-7200. My promise is we'll only play enough of it to make it recognizable to others, but then as soon as we start to get sick, we will stop it. It's not like over at the light where they'll just play it every 20 minutes.
Over and over.
Lisa's been on hold for a long time. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
All right.
You have one of these?
Oh, my God. I think it's called Carol of the Bells, that ring Christmas bells here, other thing. It stresses me out.
Does it? Why?
The pace of the song.
I get it. Yep.
And it's like, and then it gets faster and louder, and it's like, oh, my God, I'm not doing enough.
Yes. They put a lot of pressure on you. Here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Now, the version that I'm used to hearing is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
But I get it. It's like, hurry, hurry. You didn't get enough gifts.
Right.
You haven't done enough.
All right. I think I may change your mind about this, Lisa, because I don't know if you've ever heard it, but there's a parody of that Ring Christmas Bells it's called Ding Fryzer Done. Have you ever heard that song?
No, I have not.
All right, listen to this. Just a little bit of Ding Fryzer Done.
Ding Fryzer Done, Ding Fryzer Done, Ding Fryzer Done. I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run. Don't bump and fries and hot fat and beady hurt bad and so do skin grab. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie
with that?
Look at the crowd outside the window.
The crowd is gathered.
They know the words.
They're like the angry villagers from a Frankenstein movie. They want to storm the castle.
Uh-oh.
Well, Lisa, I don't know if that's any prettier, but it's a slightly different version.
It is a different version. I'd actually almost prefer that one, to be honest.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Lisa. Have a great holiday.
Bye.
Take care.
Really,
bye.
Lisa nailed that one.
Yeah.
Now it's creeping me out. It's like,
it's so fast
paced. It's so stressful. Christmas is so stressful.
I know. All right, Judy, we started out by you telling us about the Paul McCartney song, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. And that and Mariah Carey. I've been going through the text. There's a ton of texts. Those are the two that seem to be the most hated of all the Christmas songs. But you have another one, don't you?
Yeah, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, and it's with that woman who pretends she's a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
She does a cutesy voice all through the song.
Oh,
yeah.
Ugh.
Can we play enough of that to make Judy sick to her stomach, Kevin? Is there some way to do that? Yeah, just a little bit. They're loading it up, Jude.
Okay.
Please be patient.
Yeah, well, she probably needs some time to get going. Ugh.
Here it is. Now, wait, is this the Ronnie Spector version? This is the Ronnie Spector version. A friend of the show, Judy, I might add. A former friend of the show. If she gets a tape of this, she'll never talk to us again. I wish people could see the face that you're making right now. Judy's making a face like somebody put a bug in her soup. Oh, this is not pleasant to anybody. All right, I'm going to give you a couple of mine.
Or a needle in my eye.
Right. I will give you a couple of mine. I will again warn you, these are not pleasant. The first one is a song that was, to me, not amusing the first time I've heard it, but by the thousandth time I've heard it, it just makes me crazy. And that's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yeah.
Hate it, hate it, hate it.
Grandma got run over
shut up.
By a reindeer.
This is so awful.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
People are dancing outside.
Yeah.
Stop dancing. We will not allow dancing outside on Michigan Avenue to this song.
Stop being so happy.
Yeah, there's no
Merry
room for
Christmas.
Happiness. This is Elmo and Patsy. Now, the other night on television, I was flipping around from station to station. Somebody made a made-for-TV movie out of this song. There was a full-length movie that was made for television based on that song.
Full-length, 2 minutes?
No, like an hour and a half, a two-hour movie. I don't know.
How many times did Grandma get run over?
Over and over and over.
Yeah, that's a long time.
At some point.
Not enough.
You got to call DCFS at some point. Or the grandma. Is there a grandma version of DCFS? DGFS? I don't know what it's called. And then the one, this is my all-time most hated Christmas song of all time. And it's dogs singing Jingle Bells. Have you ever heard this? Listen to this. This is as bad can be.
I just keep seeing Steve Dale out there leading them.
This is my favorite part.
Yeah. He's conducting.
Do you know what just happened to me just now as that song was playing? My arteries hardened.
I threw up in my mouth.
That's the effect. That is more pleasant than that song, than dogs singing Jingle Bells. Now, somebody told me years ago, and I know that they have computers now, that I could look this up to see if this is true, but I'd rather not know if this is true or not. Somebody told me that that song is just one cut from an album of dogs singing about 20 songs, 20 holiday songs, that's just one cut. And I don't want to know that that's true. I'd rather live in a world where that's impossible.
Right. Like someone spent time doing that, no. Putting that together.
Because one song is hideous, but somebody made
it like dog.
Yes. Snoop Dogg's behind this. Snoop Dogg. All right. We have time for just a couple more. Oh, this is a shocker. Julie, I'm shocked by your answer. What's the holiday song or songs that you can't stand? Julie?
Hi. It all by Mannheim Steamroller. So that pounding sound just makes my, you know, again, like you said, my arteries clench up.
There's too much music in their music. Is that what you mean?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I don't need that pounding at Christmas.
Too busy. Now, here's a little fun fact that I don't think will make you either like them either more or less. But one of the guys behind Mannheim Steamroller, is C.W. McCall, the guy who gave you the song Convoy. Remember that song Convoy?
Yeah.
That's the same guy. Chip Davis is his name.
Okay. Yeah, more brilliant music writing.
More excellent music to live with. Yeah, yeah.
The lyrics are stunning.
Here's just enough of it to make you sick to your stomach, Julie.
Appreciate that.
All right. Have a great holiday.
You too. Now, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Now, this part's not bad because this sounds...
But I know the part she's... Yeah.
This just sounds like a minstrel just coming through your town, giving you and your family some holiday joy, but then it gets...
Walking through your village.
Right.
Yeah.
You know how a lot of times you'll just
with the rats following them.
Right. Now, this is actually fairly pleasant, but then it gets really juiced up and dangerous at some point.
That's what it is, the dangerous...
Christmas music should not be dangerous.
Dangerous, right. It should be safe, always safe.
Yeah. 219 is upset with this whole part of the show. They say, what a bunch of Grinches. I don't think so. I just think my theory is everybody has one or two that they cannot tolerate, right?
I love most of it.
Yeah, me too.
Just not some of it.
Just a couple of them are a little much. My Little Dolly, says 847. Now, this is a local woman. Her name is Mona something. I can't remember her name. I had her on when I was on at another station.
Mona Aboud. And Uncle Bobby and Wally used to always play it.
They loved it.
Yeah.
That's where, when I was a kid, my dad heard it played on this station on WGN and got me the 45 of it, which made for a fantastic drink coaster, by the way.
are you saying it was the worst, one of the worst ones?
Roger, how would you describe it? It's one of the worst?
No. I think
you like it? You enjoy it? Do you like it?
I love it. I posted it on my Facebook page a couple of days ago.
This is a little bit of it. Kevin found it. Hold on.
It is a very special dolly. I saw it advertised on television. In case you don't know which dolly I mean, I will try to describe it to you.
Now, Roger, she did this on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Well, she did it here in town, and someone from The Carson Show saw her
and booked her,
and she was a hit.
Can I tell you, of all the times I ever saw Johnny Carson laugh, him laughing at this song, he looked like he was hyperventilating. He couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. It's How a great doll. You take her outside, she burns and peels.
Yep. Love it. Yep. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pylak in for Wendy Snyder on WGN.